Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Here we are, Friday, August 17th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a Philadelphia police officer was injured during a violent struggle with a suspected thief. It happened about 1:15 in the morning at the Rite Aid on the 2100 block of North Broad Street. Authorities say a security guard approached a man accused of stealing items from the store. The man allegedly pulled out a knife on the security guard. The guard backed off, and that's when the man fled. About 45 minutes later, a Philadelphia police officer spotted a man fitting the suspect's description at 12th and Huntington Streets. The officer went to stop him, and the suspect ran again. The officer eventually caught up with him on the 2500 block of 12th Street, and the scuffle ensued between the two. The suspect managed to slip away again, but the officer and others managed to catch up with him in a vacant lot. Following another struggle, the suspect was subdued. Police say the officer was slashed on the nose. He was taken to Hahnemann University Hospital. The suspect was not injured, and his identity has not yet been released. A group of four alleged toll scofflaws racked up $315,000 in unpaid bills to the Pennsylvania Turnpike and now face felony theft charges.
Whoa.
Yep. Jared Stiff, Kelly Robinson, Christina Heller, and Ailet Farage are the first drivers to be prosecuted in Bucks County under a recent crackdown. They were all held for trial on Thursday. Police say Stiff owes nearly $128,000 in unpaid tolls and fees after blowing through interchanges 2,264 times and ignoring more than 4,500 collection notices.
4,500 collection notices.
That's wow. Even got Pierre beat on the parking ticket.
Yeah, right?
Come on.
Over what length of time? 4,500?
You know what? It didn't say the length of time, Nick. It just said that they're
remarkably high.
Yeah.
It was over 2 months, Nick.
Okay.
Wow. So you just don't care.
Yeah, you just don't pay.
And you never open up your mail, or you do and just throw it away.
I'm sure, he just throws it away, yeah. Man.
Says he didn't get it.
Yeah. Wow.
I wonder if that's his defense. I didn't get them. 4,500. But listen to this. I didn't know this. Turnpike authorities said that Neshaminy and Ben Salem are two of the top three worst interchanges for toll violators.
Interesting.
Let's go.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Both okay. of them.
Yeah.
Let's go. So, get easy pass. Pay your tolls, please. Yeah. A whale flipped a 20-foot boat in the waters off of the Jersey shore. New Jersey State Police released a picture of the capsized boat. Authorities say two people were fishing in the boat in Long Branch on Thursday. The fishermen were about 50 yards off the beach when the mammal flipped the boat. They say the whale surfaced beneath the vessel, causing it to flip. Both people went overboard, but no one was hurt. They said the whale then just swam away. Other boaters in the area came over to help the men. State police joked on their Facebook page that charges against the whale are pending.
Oh, dude, that had to have scared the living hell out of those guys.
Right?
Will you say? Yeah, you see people out who go out and kind of, the boats are going in and amongst the whales as they're moving along, but the notion of being flipped over by a whale,
just scared the hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Waiting for a bite, and then all of a sudden, boom, this thing flips you over.
Did I tell you? I told you the story. We were on the Long Island Sound one time. My dad and I and my brother, and we were out halfway between Long Island and Connecticut, and we're there, and the water maybe about 70 yards away from us starts to bubble. And a submarine comes up.
Are you kidding me?
And we're like,
oh, God, that's funny.
Yeah.
Wow. Was it a smaller one?
It was a military submarine.
No way.
It came up like the conning tower,
Sure.
Holy crap.
Yeah,
wow.
That's
but
crazy.
But it's apparently fair, because there's the sub base in Bridgeport.
Okay.
So, but...
That's funny.
Like, what?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it is.
Very cool. That, right?
Cool once I stop defecating.
Not many people have a submarine story.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Phillies split yesterday's doubleheader with the New York Mets. In the first game, they lost 24-4.
Jeez.
Yeah, and no further details are really necessary there.
Okay.
That's enough.
In the second game, the Phillies bounced back and won 9-6. Rhys Hoskins, who hit home runs in both games, has 11 of his 25 homers since the All-Star break and 3 in the last 4 games. With the win, the Phillies move within a game and a half within the National League East leading Atlanta. The 5-game series continues tonight, and Noah Snydergaard will start. Sorry, yeah. I asked you earlier. We'll start with, for the Mets, while Aaron Nola will take the mound for the Phils. Game time is set for 6:05, an hour earlier than normal because of a country concert for fans that will take place after the game. Tom Brady had an impressive first half and led the Patriots to a 37-20 win over the Eagles last night in New England. In his first game since losing the Super Bowl, Brady led the Patriots to scores on 4 of the 6 series he played, completing 19 of 26 passes for 172 yards and 2 touchdowns, and a 27-7 halftime lead. After the win, he also took the time to shake hands with Nick Foles, who left with a shoulder injury after giving up a strip sack. Coach Doug Peterson said Foles will be evaluated today and added, "I'm going to wait until I speak to my doctors." Foles finished 3-for-9 for 44 yards, and third stringer Nate Sudfeld played most of the next 3 quarters, completing 22 of 39 passes for 312 yards, 3 touchdowns, and an interception. And even though they lost last night, the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you so much, Kathy. Well, we have reached the end of the work week. That's awesome. That means we give away our Word of the Week prize. Pretty cool. Our friend Sebastian Maniscalco's got a show coming up Thursday, September 13th, Wells Fargo Center. Not only tickets to that show in the front row, but free parking as well for the night. So, giving that away at the end of the program. Now, it's going to be a very busy day today. We have a lot of people stopping by to say hello, and we like it that way. Some who have been here before, like Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
Pauly's going to be stopping in a little bit after 7 o'clock. He's playing Punchline Philly tonight and Saturday. There's a couple shows, let me see, each night, yeah. And then Josh Blue is coming in. He's been here before, Helium Comedy Club. He's a great guy. He's got shows this weekend as well, so we'll spend time with him. And then a guy we're going to meet in person, always an honor, to meet someone who has won the Indy 500.
That's nothing to sneeze at.
Will Power will be here, and the Pocono Race Series is going on this weekend, so Will's stopping in today.
That's as cool a name as you could possibly have.
Right?
Will Power.
Power.
It's like Stiff Woody.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Power!
Yeah.
Different sport.
But he will. He'll be here this morning. I tell you what. And every driver that we've met has been a cool person.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm interested to meet him. So he'll be stopping in today. We have our friends from Godshall's Turkey Bacon who are coming in.
Could use some of that.
That means lots of giveaways for you today as well. And we have Kathy's Bitch Box Party coming up next week. Less than a week now.
Next Thursday.
And we'll do some invites for that along. And it is a sorority party on top of that. And I know we have a bunch of other things to give away, so I'll make sure that we have your opportunity to win ample prizes throughout the course of the morning. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. Get into the entertainment news. Obviously, we have to bow to the Queen.
Yes.
Who passed away yesterday. And we'll give some of the details on Aretha Franklin in just a little while, as well as a stupid question and more. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Where are y'all going? What?
All right, so thank you, Kathy. We're going to do a stupid question, getting away our pair of tickets to the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. And we're going to obviously talk about Aretha Franklin passing away. We got the chance to talk about it because the breaking news happened late in our show yesterday. But I figured I'd do an Aretha Franklin question.
Yeah.
For the stupid question, with whom did she sing a duet in the song I Knew You Were Waiting For Me? 215-263-WMMR. She had a hit with this. I Knew You Were Waiting For Me. Who is that a duet with? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Let's see if you can get the answer correct. Today is Friday, August 17th. I will go through some birthdays while we are awaiting your answer for the stupid question. And big in the world of acting, too, right off the bat, it is Sean Penn's birthday today.
Huh. Really?
Yep. Sean Penn is 58 years old. And I want to say I saw him in the news recently, but I can't remember what it was for.
He really is still invested in the Haiti thing. So yeah. You got to give him credit for that. He stuck with it. It wasn't just, you know, for press and PR. He's really followed through and does a lot of work down there. So, yeah.
You know what movie kind of really turned me around on him as to what a great actor he was, Steve. And he had already had some acclaimed roles at this point. Damn it! What movie was it?
Is it Milk?
No. He was great in Milk, but it was well before that. He plays a lawyer. And Stevie had
Larry Pacino's Fine. In it.
Yeah.
He
had like a Larry
Carlito's
Fine.
Carlito's Way.
Carlito's Way.
He's in Carlito's Way.
He was so against his regular type.
You didn't even recognize him.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really great. He had the Larry Fine hair.
Yeah, but
by the way, he's got a show coming up on Hulu. Did you guys talk about that yet?
No, sorry.
I just got in here. So there's a show about sending people to Mars. And he's, because I haven't seen him in a little while, and he's going to be up on that show.
By the way, are they complicit in it, or are they just capturing them and then sending them?
No. It's, you know, set in the future.
You're out of here. We're sending you to Mars. Get out of here.
Interesting. Well, I'm on board for that. Is it called The First, Casey?
Yes, sir.
Okay, interesting. He is 58 today, Sean Penn. And it's Robert De Niro's birthday today.
Wow.
Bobby is 75 years old.
I was watching Godfather 2.
Son of a bitch.
You're watching Godfather 2 recently?
Yeah, and he, again, like with Pacino, looks like two different people. At the height of his, at the beginning of his career, if you look at it in the movie Mean Streets, it's the first time I ever remember seeing Robert De Niro in Mean Streets. Just great. Amazing stuff.
Have you ever seen his screen test for The Godfather? Because he originally read for Sonny.
Sonny.
And he would have been a great Sonny.
He would,
Of course, James Caan was amazing at it.
He got to be Vito.
And obviously he's just had an amazing career. He's 75 today.
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
You know?
Come on, man.
A lot of people overlook that.
Yeah. You blow it!
Donnie Wahlberg.
Wow.
And he turned his career around with acting and got started kind of The Sixth Sense was everybody was like, oh my God,
that's Donnie Wahlberg.
I saw the whole movie before I realized that was Donnie Wahlberg.
And then has brought it back around with the music again.
Yeah.
And married to Jenny McCarthy.
And what? He's on a
Blue Bloods.
Yeah. TV show.
With Tom Selleck.
Yeah. He's 49 today. Gilby Clark, former guitarist of Guns N' Roses, also has a birthday. He's 56.
Gilby's a unique name.
It is. You don't meet many Gilbys.
Well, it's probably Gilbert, right?
Maybe. You think so?
Maybe.
Or Gilbessons.
And then the last birthday I saw today is Tessa Farmiga. She is the sister of Vera Farmiga, who we were just talking about the other day.
21 years her junior.
Yeah. And in fact, I saw a movie where they played mother-daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I could see that.
American Horror Story, Higher Ground. She's done a few things. She is 24 years old today. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this question. I was curious as to what song did Aretha Franklin have a hit with? It was called, that's not the question. The song was I Knew You Were Waiting For Me, but who did she have a duet with in that song? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and I will go to Sarah for the answer. Hey, Sarah, good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? All right, Sarah, who did Aretha have a duet with in I Knew You Were Waiting For Me?
George Michael.
Yeah, correct. Hang on a moment, Sarah.
I love that song.
In all the retrospects that have been, you know, pouring in, obviously, apparently that was a bigger hit in the UK than it was here. It was like a massive
hit there.
Yeah,
it's pretty big here.
Yeah, it was pretty big here. Sarah, hang on the line. We're going to get your information. Going to give you a pair of tickets for the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. And you can join the revelry of the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair Saturdays and Sundays through October 28th. Experience of fantasy at Turnpike Exit 266. Visit PARenfair.com. And obviously, yes, you no doubt heard the news that Aretha Franklin passed away yesterday. We got the news a little bit late in the show and had a chance to talk a little bit about her career and life And Aretha Louise Franklin was her given name, and she passed away Thursday morning, 9:50 a.m. at her home in Detroit. She was surrounded by loved ones, and she'd been sick for some time.
It was pancreatic cancer, was it not?
Yeah, that's what they had said, and I think there were a host of physical issues brought on by that. And, yeah, so she had finally passed away. She remains the most charted female on the Billboard magazine list with a whopping 73 charting records.
It's amazing. First inductee into the female inductee,
that
right?
That happened in 1987, the first female artist to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. To date, she has sold 75 million records globally, making her one of the best-selling singers in history. She won 18 Grammy Awards. Earned a Grammy Lifetime Achievement and a Grammy Living Legend Award. And in 1994, she received the Kennedy Center Honor. And in 2005, she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the nation's highest civilian honor. So, obviously, she was well-respected and well-liked and certainly got the accolade she deserved in her lifetime, which is pretty great.
You know? Yeah. Considered, yeah. You pointed out that Divas special they did a few years ago, Preston. And it was Mariah Carey and who else was on it?
Probably Christina Aguilera. Was it that one?
Yeah, and they also had Gloria Estefan.
Gloria Estefan was in that and a few others. And I remember seeing that when it aired. And at the end, they do a big kind of sing-off thing. And every time one of the other women, who were all incredible singers as well, that they would kind of go for it a little bit, Aretha would just one-up them every single time, effortlessly.
Yeah.
You could see the other woman putting effort into it, and she just did it effortlessly.
We have a clip of her on Oprah talking about the gift of her ability, and she attributed it to a higher power.
All right, here we go.
When did you know you had it?
I think around 10 or 11.
We think that it's a gift from God. I don't know how else you describe that. Do you think that too?
I would say that, yes. Yeah. You have singers that are trained, and then you have natural singers, people that, in my opinion, were just born to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I was one of those people. Hopefully.
Well, in all her modesty, but the truth is, to your point, Preston, there were things, and you can hear, that she's just doing. Like, it just comes naturally.
Yeah.
And the George Michael pairing. Listen, how old was she when she did that? And just tearing it up.
Yeah. I watched the 2020 retrospect of her life. Last night, her father was a great singer, too. He had released, 70-some-odd albums, and he was a very well-respected preacher and civil rights leader.
Right.
Was very, very close with Martin Luther King Jr. And so, at the time, when Aretha was growing up, it was not uncommon for people like Sam Cooke to stay at their house.
Whoa.
And Mahalia Jackson, and all these amazing singers in their own right. Now, just because you're around those people
doesn't mean you're going to get it. Yeah.
You're going to all of a sudden catch the gift.
Well, I mean, I've been hanging out with Steve for 20 years. I'm still not funny.
No, you are funny.
But she was just an amazing talent. Just absolutely as natural as you can see. You know,
this is one of my favorites.
Oh, it's an amazing song.
Yeah, every part of it.
And used in so many movies as well.
And commercials.
In commercials.
Yeah, it's true.
But do you remember in The Big Chill?
Yes.
This song was used. And
that soundtrack, that was my life one summer. I guess that was the summer of 85.
It was a huge soundtrack, yeah.
I just want to take this in for a second. I didn't know just what was wrong with me till your kiss helped me name it. Now I'm no longer doubtful. As she gets into this. Everybody else get a little teared up when they hear that?
Yeah, I love it. Because the closest I've ever got was someone saying to me, you make me regret being a woman. and so that's a painful personal thing.
On the special that I watched last night, they were going through the timeline of her career. And obviously, In the 1960s, when songs like that and Respect came out, she was topping the charts and she was, you know, way up there. But then the disco era came in.
Yes.
And kind of ushered that away. And she was still recording, obviously, but wasn't hitting like she was. And you know what they stated that turned it for her and brought it back around? Because she ended up having a resurgence in the 1980s.
She did, yeah.
It was the movie The Blues Brothers. The
Blues Brothers, wow. Yeah.
And John Landis. And that movie, gang, the music in that movie is phenomenal.
It really, the movie was designed by Belushi and Aykroyd and Landis to be an excuse to get together with all these musicians that they've adored,
yeah,
and carry on that Blues Brothers thing.
They had, James Brown,
yeah,
Ray Charles, John Lee Hooker in the street scene where they're just kind of jamming.
Yeah.
Right before this scene with Think. And all these greats in that movie, and they're the whole time they're listening to Sam and Dave in their car, and she just apparently had opened herself up to a new audience that wasn't aware of her greatness in that scene where they do Think. Case, can you pull up Think and play that, because that's a big scene in the movie.
Yep.
And you know what John Landis said about her and James Brown and some of these other gangs is that they couldn't lip sync very well to the track. And the reason being is because they never sing the song the same way. They put their own life into it each and every time they do it. But it was a way for her to have a resurgence.
Shut up, woman.
Because then after that, in the 1980s, you remember Freeway of Love?
Yes.
Was on a freeway. Of love
in a pink Cadillac,
was a huge hit for her, and it had a resurgence in her career.
I was watching footage of her as, early on in her career. Obviously, she had really started to click. People were realizing there was something amazing here. But Preston, she's sitting at the piano, accompanying herself.
Yeah,
and you know those. So to put it in her perspective, she's singing pyrotechnically,
yeah,
and she's playing, but she's never ever really looking at the piano. She's
not
one of those people.
You know what? Obviously, the fellow musicians reacted on social media, and listen to this about her piano playing. Elton John,
yeah,
one of the all-time great masters.
He's the piano man, Preston.
The keyboard, yes. He wrote, "The loss of Aretha Franklin is a blow for everybody who loves real music, music from the heart, the soul, and the church. Her voice was unique. Her piano playing, underrated. She was one of my favorite pianists," he said.
Wow.
"I was fortunate enough to spend time with her and witness her last performance, a benefit for AJAF at St. John the Divine Cathedral. She was obviously unwell, and I wasn't sure if she could perform, but Aretha did, and she raised the roof. She sang and played magnificently, and we all wept. We were witnessing the greatest soul artist of all time. I adored her and worshipped her talent. God bless her. My condolences to all her family and friends. We shared the same birthday, and that meant so much to me. The whole world will miss her, but will always rejoice in a remarkable legacy. The queen is dead. Long live the queen. Love, Elton." So that's a huge endorsement right there. And Paul McCartney said, "Let's all take a moment to give thanks for the beautiful life of Aretha Franklin, the queen of our souls, who inspired us all for many, many years. She will be missed by the memory of her greatness as a musician and a fine human being. Will live with us forever. Love, Paul." And then, from the world of R&B, obviously, everyone stepped up as well. Diana Ross said, "I'm sitting in prayer for the wonderful golden spirit of Aretha Franklin." Patti LaBelle.
Yes, another great voice.
Right up there with Aretha, one of the all-time greats. "I am deeply saddened about the passing of the Queen of Soul and my sister in song, Aretha Franklin. Today, the world has experienced tremendous loss. Aretha was a rare treasure whose unmatched musical genius helped craft the soundtrack to our lives of so many. My sympathy, love, and prayers go out to her family, loved ones, and fans around the globe." And then you had others from John Legend and Mariah Carey, who was
one of the divas,
kind of a baby.
Aretha.
She was, she clearly had inspiration from her. And then from the world of all genres, Willie Nelson wrote, whether it was gospel, blues, jazz, R&B, pop, or civil rights, Aretha Franklin was the greatest gift and the voice of a generation. She could turn any song into a hymn. She would be greatly missed here on earth, but that band in heaven just got our angel.
So was yesterday the day that Elvis died, or is it today?
No, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So two of the biggest all time. You're right.
The King and the Queen.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Wow. So there's going to be, you know, more tributes that are coming out and more retrospects of her life, and I'm in.
It's worth doing a deep dive and just checking out some of the stuff. I think even if you just think you sort of know, you really probably don't. And Preston, just you talking right now brought up some of those latter hits that I love. You know?
Yeah, she had, the big ones were, you know, Natural Woman.
Yeah.
Say a Little Prayer, she did a cover of that. Think was a big one. Chain of Fools was amazing. Freeway of Love, Something He Can Feel was one of her breakout hits as well. And she just had, it went on and on.
I saw a good tweet yesterday that said when they do the tribute to Aretha at the Grammys this year, nobody should try and cover the songs. They should just come out, bring out an iPod, hit play, walk off the stage.
Speaking of the Grammys, something I forgot about until I was watching this last night, and you guys will remember this, and it was a defining moment. It was at the 1988 Grammy Awards, and she was going to be there, obviously, that night. Luciano Pavarotti was scheduled to sing that night. He was going to perform Puccini's classic Turandot aria.
I do remember
which
this.
Which is Nessun Dora. This is classical operatic performance. Literally about 2 hours before Pavarotti had to cancel, they asked Aretha Franklin to do it, and she did it. She blew it.
That song?
You need to see
I
this.
Watch
if
it. You I
let's never, grab the audio if we can get it.
If you've
Pavarotti had he apparently had he had choked on a rib bone.
Oh man!
No, his voice was
it was shot. Was giving
him an issue. Yeah. She stepped in and sang it, and it was it was incredible.
Who makes that call?
You know what? And I saw the interview of the guy who was telling the story, and it's whoever was in charge of the Grammys performance. And he came to Aretha, and this is supposedly how the conversation went. Listen, Pavarotti can't make this. Can you try it? And she goes, oh, I don't know if I can do that. And the director of the show said, Aretha, you're the only one who can do
that. Yeah, that's wild.
I'm surprised that they asked her to do that and not just
something else.
Something else.
Right. But no, she did that performance. And
By the way, the story is made no less more impactful by the fact that the first call went to Bananarama, Preston.
Oh, really? Yeah. You want to hear a lighthearted story about Aretha? Let me go to Dwayne, who's on the line. Hey, Dwayne, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, I was a bellman at the Rittenhouse Hotel back in the early 2000s, and they called me upstairs to go get her bags. So when I went upstairs, I knocked on the door, and she answered the door. And she was about 350 pounds at this time.
Yes.
And she answered the door in her pink bra and panties.
No
in her
way.
Bra and panties.
That's awesome.
I swear to God, dude, I turned away, and I'm like, oh, Mrs. Franklin. She goes, no, no, baby. Get your A in here. There's no time for that.
That's great.
How cool is that?
I walked in the room. The room was so humid because of her voice.
Yeah. Yes.
And there was all these other guys in there. I could see everybody's towel in their heads because it's so hot in the room. And I said to one guy, I said, why is it so hot in here? He goes, oh, it's for her voice. It keeps it, you know.
Yeah.
Keeps her voice good. But
well, we were talking yesterday, Dwayne, about the fact that she was very specific. She would go in, and environment and temperature and humidity were critical. And she, if she was playing a venue, she would make sure it was absolutely to snuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, she was a great tipper. She gave me, like, $25. You can't beat it.
That's a great memory.
What a great story, Dwayne.
All right, guys.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, Steve, she would go into recording studios. They were saying on this that I watched on 2020, and if it was too cold, she would just kind of step in the room for a second, and then she'd step out and she'd go, no, I'll come back when it's right. And she would leave for a couple hours until they would change the temperature of the room because she couldn't sing unless it was just so. And they said there was no air conditioning allowed. It would have to be warm, like uncomfortably warm. But she knew it's pretty wild.
Exactly. Yeah.
Limitations. We have a little bit of this?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of it, actually. Wait. Marissa's thing. Hang on a second.
Okay.
We have the Bananarama clip.
Hold on, Marissa. Go ahead.
Just because I want to prep you for this. I sent it over. It's 1:40. If you want to rewind or fast forward to the end, that's the most amazing part, obviously. Okay. I'm watching the YouTube video. There is 35 seconds of applause.
Oh,
the Grammys
let. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I have chills while you guys are talking.
Let's play a little bit of this. Here we go.
And then, oh, praise, then share my kisses, break the silence, and may be mine.
a soul and gospel singer being asked to sing opera, which she only rehearsed just a tiny bit.
That's crazy.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
How, and just that she was able to get up and do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see, though, they clearly didn't kill the AC for the room, so she's bundled up like she's going on a Iditarod.
Yeah, yeah. She sang My Country, Tis of Thee at the first inauguration of President Barack Obama in 2009.
Mm-hmm. Called that a personal highlight of her life.
Oh, she did?
Because obviously she mentioned all the civil rights activity in her family and in her her own past.
Yeah.
And that was massive.
I would imagine it was quite cold because you're talking about January.
And as I recall, she was wearing a very bizarre Futurama-looking hat.
Oh, really?
That's my recollection. I could be wrong, but it was... I remember we were talking about it.
Wow, just one of those unbelievable natural talents. Just incredible.
And the love and adulation will continue. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, we're looking at a we're looking at a video of her at the inauguration. She had a gigantic bow on her hat, which is who is the greatest singer you guys have ever seen live? And is there any way to pinpoint it? It's hard for me. I'd have to go back and really dig in and think about who I've seen, but
Kathy Romano, maybe.
You know, though, it's not someone famous, but I remember seeing a Broadway show and thinking, God, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to a Josh Groban show one time, and that dude can sing. You know, and it was just it makes you appreciate somebody who can open up their mouth and have sounds like that come out without and make it look like you said earlier, Preston, effortless.
Yeah,
you know what? I don't think I've seen singers like on that level. I don't think I've ever, besides Broadway, to Kathy's point, you know, that sort of level of singer.
Right.
I'm usually drawn to, you know, music.
Bands.
Yeah, like that. Mean. So.
And they're usually, when you have a standout, it's a little bit different. I saw Joe Cocker live one time. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But nobody on the Aretha Franklin level that I can think of.
No.
Hey, and one thing I was reminded of as well with that whole diva moniker that she had, because she was the diva of divas. I'd forgotten about this, that she had fun with that whole moniker a little bit. That years ago there was a Super Bowl commercial. It was the Snickers commercial.
Yes. Yeah.
I'd completely forgotten about it.
She was in one.
Yeah, so these guys are—they're in a car, a small car, driving cross country, something like that. And Aretha Franklin's sitting in the back seat, and she's going, "Hi, can you turn the air conditioning on a little bit?" And just bitching about this and that. And the guy hands the Snickers and goes, "Come on, Jeff, can you have this? You act like a bit of a diva from time to time." Yep. It was really funny.
Love that she had that sense of humor.
Yeah. Do we have any other clips, or have we played all of them?
I think we have just some more music. We do have, I love her version of Say a Little Prayer, if you had that, yeah.
Yeah, because it was...
a Burt Bacharach song.
Yeah, who had the first hit with it?
Dionne Warwick.
Dionne Warwick, that's right. And then she did her version of it. When I wake up.
Say a little prayer for you.
I think I prefer female singers. I just, you know, I'm just trying to think of that. And I'm surprised that I haven't seen any powerful singers in concert because it's really what I prefer to listen to. I just, you know, I'm thinking of this and like I love Mariah Carey and then, you know, I think of like Jennifer Hudson and you know, some of the more contemporary.
And it's soul singers that you're leaning towards as well. I agree with you.
Yeah. And like, so. And that's why I really didn't like Britney Spears because I'm like, she's not that great of a singer. And she had come out at the same time as Christina Aguilera. I'm like, she's more of a powerful singer.
Right.
But then Christina Aguilera kind of like irked me a little bit because she was trying too hard. Do you know what I mean?
She's a genie in a bottle.
Well, so that's the thing. Like, if she just stuck with that whole genie in the bottle.
Lest we forget.
Lest we forget. Hey, listen, she was a kid when she sang
just
that.
Off of Disney at that time.
No,
yeah.
She was definitely talented. You know who's actually got a great voice is Ariana Grande as well, if you want to talk young and up and comers. But she's now been out for a while, but she's one of those people that just has a natural voice.
Well, she has actually a couple of stories with her. So I didn't include them because there are a couple of them that they're fairly long. But Aretha Franklin was prone to, if she really liked somebody or liked a performance or... She just pick up the phone and call him. So she did with Ariana Grande, and she did. Who else am I thinking? I think it was after the Hotel Rwanda. I'm having a brain fart.
Me too. I have no idea what you're talking about. Hotel Rwanda.
Yeah, the lead actor in the
Don Cheadle.
Okay. Yeah. See, I was. I thought you were talking about like female singers.
Right?
Yeah. Hotel Transylvania. She really loved Adam Sandler. But so she would just do that on a whim, and it's very cool.
Well, hang on a second. I did not know this. I'm going to go to Kelly. Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thank you. What's up, Kelly?
I was reading about Aretha yesterday with her passing and everything. She had her first child at the age of 12.
She had her first child at the age of 12?
I'm going to have to verify that.
Her sons are like, her oldest son is like 61.
Whoa.
Yeah, if we can.
And at 14, she had another one. And then later in life, like her other son was born in the 70s, so he's in his 40s. I was blown away by that.
Wow.
Okay. And we are too, if it's true. Yeah.
Nick, do you mind verifying that? Because that's pretty wild. Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate it. That would be, man. Especially coming from a family, you know, as ingrained in the church as she was.
Yeah.
Is it true?
Giving birth at age 12 to physical fights. Yeah.
Wow.
Man, oh, man. I think you're not ready. You got to wait till you're 14.
I mean, you just think about it. Like, so she gave birth at 12, meaning, you know,
hey,
she had sex at 11.
Well, yeah. Scroll up a little bit on this. The other way. I'm sorry. says her childhood was marked by the separation of her mother, Barbara, and her father, Clarence, whom she named her oldest son after. So apparently her childhood was not as ideal as one would expect.
Wow, and her father raised her. She would go see her mother in the summertime.
Okay, all right.
Wow.
And, well, look what surfaced, man. She was
staggering.
Unbelievable talent.
When you talk about, you know, the absolute epiphany, I mean, the absolute supreme, she's it, you know. When there are very few that are just, everyone just goes, oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
She's one of those.
Yeah, I would. I did a Facebook Live thing not long ago, and somebody was asking me who were the best female singers of all time.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it depends on what genre you're talking about. And I'm like, Aretha Franklin,
Kesha.
No, not Kesha. I think the greatest singer of all time is. Damn it! And now I can't remember.
Female singer or singer?
Yeah, female singer is.
Are we talking on the soul level? Are we talking
jazz?
Ella Fitzgerald.
Thank you. Yes, I think Ella. Edmund Fitzgerald was amazing and a tragic story.
It really, honestly, if they had not let those cargo doors open.
No, I put Ella Fitzgerald and Aretha Franklin in the same company, and then I can't think of anybody else who gets on
like Etta James
that level up there definitely. But they took it to another level.
You know? All right, so the Mount Rushmore. For you, for singers, is it two men and two women? Is it four women? Do you have
one dwarf?
Could you do four? Well, a dwarf could be a man or a woman, so I don't know.
Two amputees.
I mean, there are great male singers, of course.
Chicks with D's.
What?
I don't know.
I'm
why
just trying. I'm
you're
trying
taking
to,
this in
I'm
a different
trying
direction.
To give you options. It's hard to come up with that.
So I'd put Aretha and Oh my God,
Ella Fitzgerald,
Aretha and Edmund Fitzgerald.
There's a boat up on the Mount Rushmore.
Aretha and Ella there.
Do you know who I'd put up there as well?
And I don't know who else. Who?
Judy Garland.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing.
Judy Garland had, again, if you want to talk about an effortless voice.
Yeah.
Think of her in the heyday, and also Somewhere Over the Rainbow,
incredible.
When she's a young boy, she's 20 at that point.
Yeah, but I think that there are, hundreds of other people that can sing that song better than she can.
No, you'd be wrong.
Whoa, that's a pretty bold statement, man.
Yeah, I think she's overrated.
You were talking the other day about...
She's one of the absolute greatest of all time.
I would agree with Steve. I disagree with you, Case.
You were talking about recognizable voices, too, and distinguished voices, and so I think... For me, Ray Charles has to get on there because of his
unique style, great voice, composition, piano playing.
Also, length of career and a variety within that career. You know,
that
started so early. And
all this while he's walking into walls.
Right.
Then I'll add another one to that would probably be Stevie Wonder as well.
Yes. Okay.
I mean,
on that magnitude.
An unbelievable natural talent. Unbelievable. Natural talents. There were some incredible singers.
It's too difficult of a conversation to have,
sure.
and to
because all of a sudden you keep adding names.
Yes. Well, because
and there's only so many mountains.
Well, there are two voices that I think are they're not the most powerful voices, but just tonally they are perfect, and that is James Taylor and Billy Joel.
Yeah, there are people who don't make mistakes,
mm-hmm.
who just. Are almost incapable of singing a sour note. And I would put James Taylor in there as well, but albeit he is a softer, lighter style and not as...
There are people also who have terrible voices.
Yes,
like
there are.
Who happen to just be great for their material. Leon Russell is
Bob Dylan.
Yeah, Bob Dylan. You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there are people who just have, like you were saying, distinctive voices who you just can't mistake.
Harvey Fierstein.
No, but to Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
Listen to his voice, that raspiness, whatever it is, the way he pronounces
it
some
works.
Word, it's so unique unto itself that you just can't, nobody can do that.
His, every picture tells a story.
Yeah.
The stuff he did early on with the faces, great.
Yeah. And now we got a lot of calls coming in. Linda Ronstadt, Babs.
Bonnie Raitt.
Barbara Streisand's. Idol was Judy Garland.
Yeah.
Whitney Houston. We're forgetting Whitney Houston.
Oh, my God. Yes. She's on the Mount Rushmore if you had to.
Okay.
But you're right. You're right. You know, Bonnie Raitt is overlooked. Listen to the tone of her voice in any of those songs. And she's amazing. And she's very, very bluesy, which is pretty cool. Listen.
Freddie Mercury.
We're talking a blue streak.
Freddie Mercury. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know,
David
right?
Bowie.
Freddie Fender. Oh,
Christ.
Yeah.
Freddie Fender. And Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, Chris Cornell.
Chris Cornell.
How come all these people are dead?
Adele is another one.
Good singers.
Yeah. So there's a lot of great voices out there, but very few groundbreakers.
Gomer Pyle,
Jim Nabors.
Jim Nabors. I gave Pierre Jim Nabors vinyl record.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Did he ever
Shazam!
Play
it?
I think it might have been a Christmas record. I'm like, you might be able to use this.
Sergeant Carter. It was such an affected voice that Jim Nabors had, but he was big to his audience.
There's a lot coming in. Patti LaBelle, Billie Holiday, Amy Weinstein.
Winehouse.
Who's Amy Weinstein?
You're talking about Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein.
Ladies and gentlemen, Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, I love this one.
Yeah. This one goes out to all the women I farted on.
All the women.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
I've combined Roger
Harvey
Ailes.
Harvey Weinstein sings his hits.
Watch me shower.
Guys, I think it was a world record. It was an actual tribute for about a half an hour.
Yeah, then it got into Preston and Steve.
Yes, we did good.
Yes, good job.
Good job.
I mean, we're still technically in the entertainment break.
Yeah.
But you kind of have to.
Listen.
On a day where Aretha Franklin dies, you kind of have to do it.
After about 15 minutes into it, I realized I wasn't going to get to any of the stories that I had.
And it's all banal and stupid anyway.
Well, as you guys were doing all of that, I was reading a little more about her. And she did have a very interesting life. And those pregnancies in the beginning was something that she did not like to talk about.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, she was... As I found out that she, I didn't realize as private as she was about her personal life, she did like to keep a lot of that stuff mum, and she wouldn't talk about, you know, relationships and family and stuff.
It was my understanding, though, that her kids, you know, said she was a great mom, yeah. You know, phenomenal. I think her husband, her most recent husband.
She had a few.
Yeah, was an actor on the show The Wire.
Nick, what are you laughing at?
The guy that played Sloth.
Tony. These are texts that are coming in?
Yeah,
he's a football player.
I love our listeners.
Hey, all right, so what's the story on the fathers of these kids? They were
literally just kids that she went to school with. And no that was,
kidding.
Yeah, I mean, she pretty much
so it wasn't like an adult taking advantage of her. They were just kids
at her school. And she didn't like to talk about it. And as she built her career when she was that young, her sisters raised the first two kids for her. And it wasn't like she wasn't in their life or anything like that, but they helped her out so that she could continue with a singing career.
Okay. Hang on a second here, Steve, just to bring this up. Hi, Steve's on the line. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. You guys don't know who this is. Gino Vanelli.
Gino Vanelli. Yes. Gino Vanelli.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a long and storied history with Gino Vanelli.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I brought it up on the air one time, and Casey, you were barraged with Jackie Bam Bam.
One of them. Most pissed off I've been in the
you had a full last meltdown with Jackie. My image in my mind is of Jackie hunched over you like a condor. Gino Vanelli. And I'm looking across the console.
It was his birthday.
I'm trying to work!
He's singing.
Yeah.
He's singing.
I just want to stop and tell you how I feel about let me work!
I regret my reaction,
yes.
But it was... It was a natural sort of, like, dude, like, I had a dude screaming in my ear at 5:30 in the morning after I had asked him to not do
right.
that.
Right. This is a mild hit.
We're playing Gino Vanelli.
Yeah, I don't know why that guy.
And Aretha Franklin died.
I know.
So I'm going to stop. I just want to stop.
We're just asking, why didn't Gino Vanelli die instead?
He may be dead.
Yes.
I do not know.
Fun fact, I think he's from Canada.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we had a fun fact this morning. But anyhow, what an amazing talent and what an incredible
Gino
loss.
Gino Vanelli.
No.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Aretha Franklin. And it's sad. But her last public performance happened here in Philadelphia,
yes,
at the Kimmel Center, from what I understand. And then she did a couple of private engagements after that when her health got a little bit worse. So sad news, obviously, but the music lives on, and thank God for that. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. We have a bunch of guests coming on the program. Please stick with us, and thanks. And we're skipping the clips today.
Screw it. We've already played clips.
We'll be back in a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Foo Fighters. Metallica. Dorothy.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Our next guest is excited to be here. He was just talking about the Eagles' Super Bowl victory. Because last time he was here, Bo Allen was in studio.
That's right.
And they got to hang out together.
Bo Allen was like ecstatic.
He is playing Punchline Philly this weekend, ladies and gentlemen.
Pauly Shore is here with us.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Good to see you.
It was like Bradley Cooper against Mark Wahlberg, right? Is that what the vibe was?
Exactly.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It was hilarious, right?
It truly was.
Yeah. It was great.
And Mark,
I was so happy for you. First of all, congratulations. And I'm not just saying
man.
That. I love sports. I'm obsessed with sports. So I was really into it, and I was so happy. I like that pass that he did.
Yeah, oh,
the side pass.
Oh, the Philly.
So
Philly.
Right in their face, dude.
No,
that was like straight up right in your face.
Yeah, they pulled out a trick play there. And
yeah, it was
freaked
right in their face.
Out.
Belichick's like, what the? He starts sweating, and then that big Samoan guy threw his headphones. Like, this is crap. What's going on here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was
incredible.
Great.
You
it
know what the thing is that so they've been doing some preseason games. There was a game last night, and so I was telling Casey, Casey's the biggest sports fan. And when you're watching a game that's clearly just about sort of just okay, let's try this, and we're just before the season gets going, and I'm like, this game seems weird. I But he explained to me that they're just trying different things before they really get into the actual
but
season.
They were having fun.
Yeah, they were having
That's
fun.
That's what was cool about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And they were laughing. They were enjoying it. There was like a rhythm there. There's a cadence
yeah.
that I felt that I saw. And that's why, you know, they beat them. You know, that's what needs to
but
happen.
But in the Super Bowl they did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't watch last night. I was
yeah,
on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what has to happen to the Golden State.
Yeah, you think so?
Someone has to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know what I mean?
Do you get to go to games at all? I mean,
yeah, once in a while.
When you do go, what are you going to see?
I sit in the way top seats. I sit with the Spaniards up way high in L.A.
Are your people up there?
Yeah, those are my people. We have, you know, pinatas and stuff. It's all happening.
Spaniards. What's the most fun?
You can't say Mexicans.
I was picked up on that.
Yeah.
What's the best? Paulie, what's the best thing to see in L.A. sports-wise? Is it going? A Lakers game?
Well, now it's going to be the Lakers, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be pretty cool, you know, so it'll be interesting, you know, because I think with LeBron on the team, I think, you know, everyone's going to step up a little more, you know.
So do you think the LeBron move is because he's dabbled with acting and is actually pretty good, you know, and the things he's done, he's playing LeBron basically and everything, but still. Do you think that was part of the big seduction of being on the Lakers?
I think us as human beings, we live our life and, you know, you carve out different, you know, 5-year periods, 7-year period. He did the Miami thing. He did the Cleveland thing. And now he wants to do the L.A. thing.
Yeah.
And he knows he's got, you know, 4 more years or 5 more years and it's a wrap.
In L.A., because here the sports celebrities are the biggest celebrities.
Yeah.
It's like the sports guys and then like your news anchors and stuff like that.
Right.
But in L.A.,
the radio guys.
And then the radio. Well, they're way.
But you guys
way
are
down.
Big because you still have an audience here.
Yeah.
Because I've been touring for what 20-25 years. I do radio shows all over America. This is a pretty big show. You guys, this is a big deal. You have people coming out. You got breakfast. You got a security guard. You know what I mean? You got people flying. You got helicopters. Helicopters flying it, you know what I mean? I feel bad though, my guy's not here.
Oh, yeah.
You're a super fan. Yeah. You're a super fan guy.
Yeah.
That's right.
But Bojack Horseman's not here.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Bojack Horseman.
He's in Tampa.
Bojack
That's not Horseman. Cool.
That's not cool.
That's not cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll be at Mons Venus down there hanging out.
Oh, my God.
He'll be like, I remember one day I was with on the Super Bowl team. And she'll be like, shut up, turn around.
That place is a pit.
So, oh, Case, my God. Yeah. Back in the day, though.
Yeah.
You were going to ask Paulie about celebrities in Los Angeles.
Sorry.
Yeah. Do they sort of just kind of get lost in the mix?
Sports
guys? Like, who's bigger out there?
There's an exclusive club called the Soho House.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of the Soho?
I have heard of it.
So they're like in L.A., New York. I was there and I saw, this was just 2 weeks ago, I saw Carmelo Anthony hanging out with Russell Westbrook. And they were just sitting there. And I freaked out. And, you know, I'm like, you know, I love it. You know,
Do they notice you? I mean, because you know, is there any... Because...
Yeah, they're like, man, keep that guy away from me. It's scary. Man, that dude is scary. Keep him away from me. They all grew up with me.
Yeah, because you're...
So there's like a connection there, yeah.
By the way, sorry, and our condolences about your mother passing away.
Thank you.
Legendary. Mitzi Shore. I was watching actually a documentary that had to do with the Comedy Store. And I wanted to bring this. I never realized there was a whole point in time where, I guess apparently, some of the comedians went on strike, and your mom was really hurt by like David Letterman and stuff like that. Was that a big thing? Or was that just
a
conceit?
We could be here forever for that story. That's like this is it's basically, you know, in her eyes, she kind of gave them a platform to develop. They were off the streets,
right?
And they didn't have anything. So then. Once the store started making money, they wanted the money. So it was just kind of like...
I was wondering if that was just something that they sort of created that hadn't really happened, or they finessed it. Or so it really did sort of happen.
Yeah, it was a strike. It was a big deal.
Well, are you working on a documentary about your life?
All working on documentaries about our lives.
Yes, but there's this
guy in the corner right there wearing a sweatshirt, wearing the what is that? Rick and Morty. What is that?
Rick and Morty.
He's working on a documentary.
He's working on a documentary. But Here's my point.
Everyone's got a documentary.
You lived your life actually from the MTV days and from the movies and from the access that you had. You talk about access and about celebrities and seeing celebrities and living out there in L.A. and on the Strip. And the Playboy Mansion you were a regular at. Mm. I mean, you have got the kind of stories.
I think about that part. That was the part that you carve out, those 7 years. You just carve them out.
What was that like in the heyday?
I just say the word heaven. I was very fortunate, very lucky, very blessed. My mom and dad gave me the most amazing life in the world.
Yeah.
And I grew up, you know, right on the Sunset Strip back in the heyday.
I mean, that you had know? To be it was amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. It was awesome. I saw every genre, every band. You know, from Iggy Pop to the Pointer Sisters to, you know, X, the band X.
Did you ever meet, we were talking about her earlier, the passing of Aretha Franklin. Did you ever get to meet Aretha
Never
Franklin?
Never met her.
Yeah, okay.
Never met her, no.
Growing up in that environment?
Quincy Jones, yeah.
Do you think that that might be why you're more impressed or starstruck by sports stars than TV or, and what are you doing with your bandana?
Sorry. He's putting it on his mouth.
Okay.
No, okay, go on.
Looks comfortable.
You seem a little, I don't know if jaded is the right word, but you're used to growing up with TV comedians,
No, I'm
actors.
A fan just like you guys are fans right. of people. I mean, I'm okay. obsessed with Sean Penn, De Niro, you know, all the great actors, Pacino, you know, all these guys that we would sit at home and watch, you know, grow up. I'm just like basketball. I like sports. I love football. You know what I mean?
So but
I'm
you
just,
admit like, it fan. And enjoy it. And we enjoy it.
Yeah,
a lot of times
I'm a
people
fan like you guys yeah. are fans, you know,
a lot of times people try to we'll see. Celebrities who sort of blow that off or try to act as if that's not a thing.
If you saw me when people don't know, like I'm just a normal guy, dude. You know what I mean? I just go home, I make my oatmeal. You know what I mean?
Make your oatmeal.
I smoke a little weed. It's California. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you can't say that here. Sorry.
No, of course
no, you can.
It's legal
it's
now.
Medical.
Get pulled
now.
Off the radio. Sorry.
No, we're good medically.
No, it's legal. Yeah. My friends in New York are hilarious. They come out to L.A. My friend Tony, they just pack up a whole bunch of stuff because you can go, you don't need a medical thing.
Yeah.
You can go and just
get
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Recreationally. Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask about, and by the way, if you're just tuning in, Pauly Shore is going to be at Punchline Philly tonight and tomorrow. And also at Monster Mania Con. Which
yeah. Monster Mania Con. That'll be fun.
But you were in Moscow and Jerusalem, spent some time there recently.
Yeah. It was my summer vacation.
First time.
Great. Yeah. My first time ever.
I've always wanted Israel. To go. Always wanted
Israel,
to go to both.
Whereas the Jews say, Israel.
Israel.
Uh-huh. But it was weird going there because it was basically, you know, every Jew that I saw, I'm like looking at myself.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm Jewish. You know what I mean? These are my roots. So it's kind of like just going back to, you know, I don't want to say weird things.
Say weird things.
No.
Because I've always wanted to go to Israel. It looks fantastic.
It's great. It's actually, you know, it's not what people think it is as far as like being dangerous. You
right.
know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. very... But, I mean, the geography of it is very interesting. It's Israel. And then you got all these kind of Arab countries surrounding it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Heavily, though.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of Arabs that live in Israel that are very pissed off and bitter, which is hilarious to me, too.
Yeah.
Because they're basically... So do you know what the name of the Jewish money is?
Not off. No.
It's called shekels.
Oh, sure.
How hilarious
is
that?
Okay. Right,
I mean,
that's
so Jewy just to begin. Hey, can I get some shekels? It's hilarious.
You know it's
Jewy. But imagine the Arabs having to pay shekels. They don't give me your shekels. You know what I mean? Because they're on their land. Like in the Arabs people's minds, that's their land. The Jews stole their land.
Right. Yeah.
It's all about real estate over there and religion and stuff like that. That's the big kind of, you know, thing where people are fighting all the time.
But outside of that, it's known for incredible resort areas and beaches, and the women are Gal Gadot, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, it's kind of like Miami, you know, or Brazil. I hadn't been to Rio or anything but like that, but Miami where people are on the beach, and it's like that's Tel Aviv, but then you drive about 40 minutes and you go to Jerusalem, which is the holy city, which is amazing, which is the center of the universe. And I didn't even know this, but this is where Jesus Christ was crucified. I didn't know that. I thought I'm Jesus Christ. I'm not thinking he's Jewish and in Jerusalem, and you know what I mean. I'm just like most people. Like, sir, did you know that?
The Rick and Morty shirt.
Come here. Did you know Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem?
No, I did not.
You didn't. Where did you think Jesus was crucified? Come here.
I honestly had no idea.
Yeah, me neither. Okay, go sit back down. Sorry about
him.
This
is the Bible. It's the Torah
show.
Part too.
No, but it was in. It's so crazy. Like, there's this. Okay, It's the whole. It's the holy city. It's
yes.
Like, or not the holy. The whole. Yeah. It's like
holy
it's,
land.
The old. It's called Old City or Old. Yeah. You know. And it's basically think about a castle. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the castle has got like, kind of like tons of huge, huge walls all the way around it, and there's 8 entrances. And you go into the holy city, and then there's the Wailing Wall.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you go there and you pray. And it's not just for Jewish people, it's for everyone. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like Disneyland for religion.
Okay.
You know, it's like people just go there, they take pictures in front of the wall, but
it has import for every for all the religions.
But you definitely feel like God there. It's
really?
Not like it's fake. Like you feel like, you know, God, because I pretty much went there for my mom. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I went. My mom passed away. I was really close with her, and I wanted to just kind of like bring her to Jerusalem, and I wanted to be with her in Jerusalem because both my parents are Jewish, and they never made it.
No kidding.
They never made it to Israel. There's a lot of people that are Jewish that don't.
Did you plant a tree in her name? Well, there, that's kind of an honor. That
I didn't know that. I screwed that up. Sorry.
You can go back.
You can go back.
I know you're supposed to put letters and stuff.
In the wall.
I was just leaning on the wall going, hey, you know, you know, in between the rabbis.
Is that
what
you do? You just go, hey.
Hey, dude, you know what's crazy is I didn't know this. Like, Jewish women, you're not allowed to touch them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you really technically should be touching any women.
No, when I say touch them, meaning not high five them.
Oh, really?
You can't shake their hand. Mm-hmm. You can't do any of that. The only men that they're allowed to touch are men that they're married or their father.
Mm-hmm. And they pray at a different section on the wall, too.
Yes, like, yeah, exactly.
The men are on one side, and it's celebratory, and they're doing hey up against the wall.
Yeah, and the girls are peering over the wall looking at their rabbi dudes. Yo, there's my shmuta. There's shmuta over there.
Chuck him a few shekels.
Yeah, throw him some shekels. Yeah.
So that had
pretty,
to be
eye-opening.
It's pretty
crazy. Yeah, it was pretty. Definitely be back to Jerusalem.
How about Moscow?
Moscow is very clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you
really?
Can yeah, very clean. Did you know that Moscow is 4 times as big as New York City?
I knew it was big. I didn't know it was
it's
4 times
massive.
As big. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, this is insane. It just, you know, in the end.
Why do we always see the pictures of the same buildings?
Yeah. It's the same building. That's the same. Yeah, that's the one from my Instagram.
All right,
the Kremlin?
The what? Yeah.
Is that a picture of the Kremlin? Yeah.
No.
No. It's called the something church.
That's what Borscht.
I think that's St. Basil's.
Okay. All right. Wasn't sure.
All right. So it's 4 times as big as New York in landmass.
Moscow.
Landmass.
And do you know
right?
how long it takes to fly from the west coast of Russia to the east coast of Russia?
I assume a long time.
How long?
10 hours. I'm going to give 10 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that
it's
crazy?
Gigantic.
And you think California, New York.
About
that's five hours.
Yeah.
So they're that much bigger.
It's like 12 time zones.
Yeah. And I heard it's close to Alaska. That's what Sarah Palin said. Isn't it?
It's very, you can see it.
There are the Aleutians, and then there's the islands.
Because I'm thinking, like why didn't I just fly from Alaska? No, but...
You're right.
No, but why can't I just fly from Alaska?
Well, Moscow's on the other end.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But that whole Eastern Europe place, it's pretty cool.
You should be a travel agent.
The what?
I'd be a travel agent with
them. Yeah, but the women are pretty amazing.
In Moscow? Right?
Oh,
we hear that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You just sit there and eat a sandwich, and you just watch the babes walk by, and you're like, oh, my God. But because of the whole Me Too movement, it's even over there. You can't talk to them. You know, they're all on their headphones. They're on their iPhones. You know what I mean?
How about the language? Do many people speak English?
They don't like us.
No
at
kidding.
All. No, okay. No, they don't like
us. Do you have a translator with you?
No, you have a friend.
Okay.
Basically, the smart thing to do is when you go overseas is you find out you have friends of friends of friends, and then they show you around.
Okay.
Well, Marissa was just in Cuba a couple of weeks ago.
And oh, wow.
She was telling everybody that she was Canadian. I don't know. You probably can't get away with that, but, maybe.
I said I was American.
Okay.
Yeah.
And?
Yeah, they were whatever.
Yeah.
They were cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
I was nervous. I was nervous. Was nervous. Yeah, for sure. But then you get there and it's that stereo.
Typical
stuff, and it's not like that.
Okay.
So how are the people of Israel? Are we always here warm and outgoing? And
yeah. The food in Israel is better than the food in America. And I've eaten everywhere. They make it with love, and they grow everything there on Israel. Like all the fruit and the vegetables and the meats, everything is right there. So it's, and they spend a lot of time with it. It's like, there's some food. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Looking at
holy
pictures
hell.
Of the bread. That's amazing.
Wow.
It's really
huge.
You know, they just put love into it. It's not like going to Chipotle. We're like, what do you want? And they just slap it together. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? They like spend time overnight, you know. Oh, and Shabbat. I didn't know anything about Shabbat. Or what's it called?
Shabbat?
Shabbat. Yeah, Shabbat. I didn't know anything about that.
What is Shabbat?
That's as part of the it's a Sabbath. It's right. Isn't it like
it's
on
basically
Friday?
You're not allowed to you unplug from eight p.m. You're losing listeners, by the way, right now.
Sundown.
There's no Jews in Philly at all.
Isn't it like sundown on Saturday?
Yeah, no cell phones. You can't touch money. You can't touch money, which Jews go crazy over.
Wow.
They're like, oh my God, how am I going to do this?
Wow.
You know what I mean?
So you needed to go to Israel. You don't know. Yeah, to bring yourself up to speed on your religion.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
So besides that, and besides all the other stuff that's going on, with you're busy, you have your podcast, you have all these other things that you're involved with.
Yeah.
And to the point of the documentary, is there in fact a documentary in the works, or is that just hearsay?
No, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's almost like it's got to be presented at the right time. You know, it's kind of like my agents have to present it to Netflix and Showtime and HBO at the right time.
Well, because you are sort of, you're a pop culture all in one. I mean, you were at the center of a lot of what, you know, like before a lot of the, I was reading an interview with you and you talked about running into Will Ferrell at some event. And he sort of gave you a lot of credit. Tell him what he told you.
Yeah, it was a Funny or Die event. It was like the birthday of Funny or Die, which is his website. Which I do a lot of stuff with them. And
Adam McKay, too.
Yeah, and I came up to him, and he came up to me. It was just like, you know, and he started mimicking me, and he started kind of like saying that I started it, and, you know, kind of, you know what I mean?
So he was a fan.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah, he was a fan, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. No, that's the way it is when I see these guys. I mean, that's the thing about the entertainment business is, like, you know, when you're in, you know, people grew up, you know, I don't know. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes sense. You're exactly right.
I think I ran out of steam.
I think so too. Yeah, I enjoyed your Stephen Miller on Funny or Die.
Oh, thank you.
I thought that was hilarious, and I don't really care about where your politics are. I just thought that was a really good job of making fun of that dude.
Yeah. Yeah, because unbelievable. I think he's the one that writes Trump's tweets.
Yeah.
For sure. I think Trump is like, that's too harsh. He's like, no, you got to do it. It's going to be hilarious. You know what I mean?
Hey, I saw this little factoid earlier this year. You went to Jerry Cantrell's birthday party, and Steve Perry was there.
Amazing.
He's got a new album. He just released a new album.
Do you know
album.
That? Really? He just released a new album.
Amazing.
For years, we heard he was not, he had lost the ability to sing.
Great.
Was he a cool dude?
Oh, my God, dude. He's God. I mean, that's like you talked about early on, like people that I was going crazy over.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve Perry, you drive down the street, his voice comes on the radio. You're like, oh, my God, this guy's like, this guy's a mic dropper. You know what I mean?
Yeah. One of the best voices ever.
One of the best. And I met him. It was like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe it.
Did he sing at the party or perform or anything? Or was he just hanging out?
No, he was just chilling. It was It was a cool crew.
Yeah.
Vincent Gallo was there.
From Brown Bunny?
He's hilarious.
The guy who got the Hummer on a mainstream film, correct?
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah,
he's
Chloe. Is he? Chloe Svigny. Yeah,
he's funny.
Yeah,
he's so bizarre.
Right.
So he's like a weirdo. Great.
Watched a few of his movies. What was it?
Buffalo 66.
That one, Brown Bunny.
He's a big indie director and writer and actor.
Yeah, he's great. You know, no, it was cool. It's like, you know, when you're older now and you see these guys that you started with and you are kind of like, it's cool. It's like, you know.
Who's blown your mind recently about, again, like a Will Ferrell? Was somebody just out of the blue or somebody that you thought you weren't even on their radar came up to you and was a fan?
Oh, man. I don't know, dude. It's too early for that. I don't know. I like who you guys like.
Yeah.
You know, anyone that you guys are into, I'm into, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Preston likes Ella Fitzgerald.
Well, she was amazing.
Yeah.
She was amazing.
No, I don't know. I mean, I like, for me, like, I like watching Donald Trump.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Just because I can't believe it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everything that happens in this, it's like, it's like, it is a reality show.
Yeah.
You know, it is.
Well, we were talking the other day about there are so many reality shows that I just can't stand and that people watch that they hate, but they still watch it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I don't know why people do that. My first inclination is to go, it's put me in a bad spot. Let me just change the channel.
Yeah.
Let me turn it off.
Yeah, yeah. You watch it in doses, you know, and the whole Omarosa thing is hilarious. Like, she was taping people. I'm going to tape this. I think I'm going to tape this conversation. It's hilarious.
Did you ever run into her? Because you've done your share of
reality
stuff.
No, but I knew Donald Trump from back in the day.
Right.
Yeah, because he was always around the girls.
He was at the mansion occasionally,
always.
Right? Yeah.
And also Hawaiian Tropic down at Spring Break.
Right.
With Ron Rice. Hilarious. Vince Neil. It was Vince Neil. It was Jim Kelly. It was OJ.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? It was
the stories.
Fabio.
Trump. Oh, my God.
It was the best.
That's amazing.
Dude, I want to see this documentary.
Fabio. It was the best.
We had Fabio in here. Fabio he was awesome.
He was cool.
He was awesome.
Cool, right?
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Fabio understands Fabio. He gets it.
Yeah, he gets it.
Yeah.
Jim Kelly, OJ,
amazing.
And our current president,
and you.
And Fabio.
And Fabio.
And Pauly Shore.
And Pauly Shore.
They didn't like me because I was getting all the babes, you know? They're like, get that guy out of here. Spatch, bro, spatch. No, but Ron Rice was kind of like the Hugh Hefner.
Yeah?
The Hugh Hefner of, you know, of Daytona with the girls. I mean, yeah. Hawaiian Tropic was the biggest thing in the world.
It was.
It was huge.
The Hawaiian Tropic models were legendary.
Huge. They used to do contests and this and that, and everyone used to judge. You know, and I was on MTV, so after I would do my MTV, they'd bring me over, and I would judge, and I'd be sitting there with all these, you know, who I just mentioned, and Donald Trump was always there, you know.
How Caligula-esque did the Spring Break shows, the MTV shows, how off the charts did those things go?
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I remember watching those and seeing you, and you were hosting contests and all that stuff, and I'm like, this guy's just swimming in it. Mm-hmm. Just swimming
That's
in
how it.
It
was.
I know.
Back then.
Back then.
That's how it was.
What's happening now?
Now I'm just chilling, bro. Yeah. I'm watching CNN, you know? ESPN.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I'm just happy I'm alive. I'm not incarcerated, you know?
Yes,
I mean,
that's a good thing.
I like watching prison shows at night.
Oh,
I love it. You
dude,
know,
they're awesome.
It makes you feel better about your own life.
Do you watch the real, watch Dateline and stuff like that? The real crime
but I
stuff?
Like, the Netflix has got this one called I'm a Killer.
Casey's watching. Was talking about it. I'm almost done this season.
Oh,
but
really?
Like, yeah, it's like, wow.
There's most of them are good, but there was one that I was like, eh, this guy's boring. You know what I mean? He didn't kill good enough, this guy. Yeah, his story's boring.
Did you get to the bat ones?
I don't know, dude. Oh.
So if he's, are there some people where you're like, if they don't entertain you enough, you're okay with them getting put down?
The death penalty?
Yeah.
And so you're like...
The one guy wanted to get off out of prison and get on the death penalty, death row.
Yeah.
Just because you live really good on death row and they never kill you.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's like... Well,
yeah, he had spent so much time
in solitary,
that he was like, you know, screw this. I'm going to kill somebody.
Yeah, he killed his roommate, you know.
He killed his roommate.
So he could purposely get on death row.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because the food's better.
It's cush.
Yeah.
You know
well,
I mean?
Those who plan to fail to, what is it?
I don't know the saying.
You end up on death row.
But it's just crazy, like, because a lot of these people that are on death row, they kill people when they're really young. And when you're really young, we all make really bad decisions, obviously. So it just goes to show you a little decision, a little 1/32nd decision can just alter your whole, you know, your whole life. You know what I mean?
And then you end up at a party with Jim Kelly and Fabio and Donald Trump.
OJ Simpson.
I feel like my life is like, you ever see that video of that baby crawling across the freeway? And for some reason, it just doesn't get hit?
Yeah.
That's like my life.
I like it.
You know what
There's
I mean?
A Marvel superhero that's, her name is Domino. It's the same thing.
Yep. No matter what happens, everything goes her way.
It's like weasels swallow, but they don't fall down, bro. Yeah, be at the punchline.
All right, Paulie's going to be there tonight and tomorrow, and tickets are available. They start at $25, punchlinephilly.com, and MonsterManiaCon. Do you have any idea what days you're appearing there?
I'll be there tonight, tomorrow, and then Sunday.
There's a good collection at the MonsterCon as well, so a lot of good people.
By the way, the show's at Punchline 7:30 and 10, and you can get tickets. Always good to have you by here,
man. Thanks for having me. Congratulations on... still being a hit. I know it's hard business. You know what I mean?
Thank you,
guys,
man.
Are killing
it's
so
very
thanks
kind. Much.
Let's hear it for Pauly Shore. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Birthday Boy. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community.
Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Birthday Boy, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I would like to give one of these away. We have a pair of tickets to join Marissa Sunday Fun Day. It's a lunch cruise on the Spirit of Philadelphia, but this is not till next Sunday. It's on the 26th at 1 o'clock, and they have an awesome menu, Bloody Marys, Mimosas, the new outdoor bar, and, of course, scenic views from the river, games, prizes, and more. For tickets and information, you can visit spiritcruises.com. But Marissa will be there on the 26th, and you can join as well. So let's take caller number 18 at 215-263-WMMR, and we can put you on the boat. Is that?
That's the drilling. Yeah.
Okay. I hear construction.
Construction.
I thought someone was farting for a moment there, but it's
We're used to that.
It's a drill.
It's
I know.
Fart?
Yeah. But
is it next door now?
I don't know where it is.
Well, it's upstairs. Apparently, Brent Porsche was mentioning that at night when they do the bulk of the construction, that it just sounds like all hell's breaking loose here.
Yeah. All right. So anyhow, you probably can't hear it. We can. Let's get into the bizarre file.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
And this morning is brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. Attention outdoorsmen, French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville, PA is celebrating their 25th anniversary. They're doing it with a store-wide sale August 9th through the 19th. So obviously it's over this weekend. So go there through the 19th, FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for more information. This is the story I started to report yesterday.
I waved you off
in the latter bizarre file, and maybe I'll do it again because that was a not a nice tease for the later bizarre file. But this is the story that I was going to pass on. I'm going to bring to you now. An Indian father fractured his penis after his child fell over his erection after jumping on him to wake him up.
Oh, wait, what?
Okay.
The kid's jumping on him and broke his penis.
Yeah, to wake him up. And snap.
Oh, my balls.
So,
oh, my God.
How bad?
Bad. Well, he's going to be okay. But the bizarre accident has been published in a prestigious medical journal by doctors in India who revealed the man had taken Viagra.
Oh, boy.
The 36-year-old who has not been named sought help from medics 2 days after the excruciating injury. He complained about his, quote, deformed penis, which was also swollen and causing him lots of pain. The patient admitted to taking 100 milligrams of sildenafil, which is branded as Viagra, the night before the injury. Well, his erection persisted after he had finished having sex, and that forced him to, it says, vigorous self-pleasure.
Forced him to.
But it's right on the label. Yeah.
But that failed to combat his priapism, which is constantly being erect, you know?
Yes.
It's a medical condition.
Of course.
The man went to bed hoping...
You can cure it by having your son jump on it.
Well, he hoped that it would cease overnight, but while he was sleeping, his child mistakenly jumped on him and snap.
He just thought it was a ring toss.
He broke it. After this eye-watering injury, he developed sudden severe pain.
Oh, my... I've never had this happen, thank God, but just hearing about it is excruciating.
Surgeons found a tear in his right corpora venosa.
It's in your penis.
Cavernosa, it is.
Yeah.
Sponge-like tissue that stores the blood, which they repaired.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Dipanshu Shamara, who dealt with the patient, revealed the man was able to get back to his glory 6 weeks after treatment. He was okay. And he had been left with no permanent deformity despite his complaining about his penis being eggplant-shaped after the injury.
As for the kid, he mysteriously was shot in the head.
Oh. Well. Yeah. In Singapore, a bitter customer who apparently failed to get lucky with the ladies violently lashed out at his hired chauffeur, according to a valet company.
Is the chauffeur's fault?
The creatively named Drive Home Service in Singapore took to Facebook to report that one of their valet drivers sustained serious injuries to his head and neck after getting punched by a customer in the wee hours of Sunday morning. The valet driver, said to be an experienced driver named Farooz, had been assigned to take over the customer's car. Farooz was tasked to drive the customer, his friend, and two female companions to the house where he resided. Now, upon reaching the destination, the ladies turned down the customer's suggestion to head over to a hotel, an implication for some sexual activities. According to Farooz, the man and his friend tried to convince the ladies to change their minds, and when they failed, the conversation stopped. Farooz claimed that he then asked where to head over to next, and that's when the customer was said to have started beating up the guy's face, hitting him so hard that the back of Farooz's head banged against the car door window.
He was frustrated.
Yeah, the other passengers left the car, and Farooz had to head to the hospital to get his neck, head, and jaw examined for injuries.
So the service is the guy comes and will drive you in your own car.
Yes.
Huh.
That's
image
an idea I had. Yeah.
Showed Farooz's hospital bill for the X-ray procedure and other services, which amounted to $120 after government subsidy. A police report has since been filed against the alleged attacker. An Israeli teenager has been arrested in Poland after he was caught on video exposing his butt at the former Nazi Germany death camp, Majdanek. And the 17-year-old was filmed as he pulled down his pants while turning his back on the camp near Lublin, eastern Poland. The teenager was detained and notified that he would be charged with desecrating a monument or memorial, which can result in either a fine or jail time. I think he was mooning the Nazis.
He was mooning the Nazis. Okay. But you're allowed to moon the Nazis.
Not really, because it's considered a monument or a memorial now. So I think his intention...
They need to spell that out on the sign.
Yeah, I think his intention was...
Nazi mooning.
Yeah, Nazi mooning.
Which is acceptable. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But they didn't take it that way.
What they need to have is a silhouette of someone's ass and then Hitler, like, you know, upset with a line through it.
Nazi Germany set up the camp and occupied Poland in 1941 and ran until 1944. A quarter of a million people, including more than 100,000 Jews, died at that camp, according to Polish historians.
You know, they encounter issues like this all the time, Preston. You've had stories about it where people go to, like, Auschwitz and, you know, for whatever reason, they'll take, like, smiling selfies. It's like, it's not a place for that.
Yeah. Every year, hundreds of thousands of people visit the former death camps installed by Nazi Germany and occupied Poland. This escalated pretty quickly. A Montana man who was accused of filling his water cup with soda at a fast food restaurant has been arrested and charged with multiple misdemeanors and a felony.
Get him!
But not just for that. Police say the officers were called to the scene on Thursday afternoon after Daniel Stein picked a fight with a restaurant employee. The 48-year-old allegedly tried to fill his water cup with soda and was confronted by an employee saying that he would have to pay for it. Stein refused and left.
What you got there in the cup, Kenny?
The employee followed, and Stein tried to kick that person before walking out again. And he fled to another restaurant. The police caught up with him, and they tased him as well.
Bent the rules a little bit when it comes to that?
Probably.
Grabbed a liquid that you had not paid for?
I'm not a serial stealer of soda, but I think I probably have done it before.
As a grown adult, no. As a kid, yes.
Yeah, okay. Sure. All right, one last story. Minnesota police responding Saturday to a 911 call about a van parked in front of a Walmart entrance discovered a man performing an oral act upon his wife who was reclining in the driver's seat.
Wow.
The patrolman approached the running vehicle. He spotted Chantel Nee, quote, laid back in her seat with her pants down and exposed from the waist down. The van, police noted, was situated in front of the main entrance of the Walmart Supercenter, which is open 24 hours a day. The van's other occupant, Frank Nee, was also exposed with his shorts down to his knees.
What a wonderful picture that must have made.
Nee, Officer Steve Hopp reported, had leaned over across the center of the vehicle and was performing an oral act upon Chantel Nee.
That's some contortion going on there.
Hopp knocked on the van's window and yelled for them to stop. Hopp reported that, hey, stop in there.
I can't.
Hope.
I can't.
Hopp reported that both parties really seemed out of it, though the patrolman could, quote, not smell any odor of alcohol. The cop added that the duo was visible to the public.
Well, Walmart itself is intoxicating.
Chantel, who was groggy and lethargic, was cited for driving while impaired. Frank was charged for indecent exposure and violating a court order barring him from having any contact with her. Frank told police that his wife, who does not have a valid license, drove to Walmart because he had been drinking. And also, Frank added, she wanted to give him oral while he was in the passenger seat. So that's why they went there.
That is like, that's like a Harlequin romance.
Isn't it, though?
This is beautiful.
And that is what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. We also have some turkey bacon for you.
Oh, we have a lot.
Yeah, Gottschall's Turkey Bacon is here, and I would like to give away a six-pack of coupons, which are good for six full-size packages of Gottschall's Turkey Bacon at your local grocery store. Caller number 7 will set you up. And don't forget, on only Gottschall's Turkey Bacon is real wood smoke from facilities powered by 4,000 solar panels. It's good for you and good for the planet. 215-263-WMMR is the number. I know we have a lot of guests, so I want to do this shout out real quick on the way out. Our former intern, Ryan, or also known as Gage.
Yes.
Shout out to his beautiful wife, Brittany. It's her last birthday in her 20s. And first one as a married woman, he says. So there's a shout out to you guys. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a second. We'll have Josh Blue, who's performing at Helium Comedy Club this weekend, in our studio. And a little bit later on, Indy 500 winner Will Power will be in our studio. A bunch to come. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thanks, Kath. Our next guest is in town to play Helium Comedy Club. We absolutely loved last time he was here and excited that he's back in our studio. The gigs are tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 and 10 p.m. Please welcome Mr. Josh Blue.
Yeah! Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good to see you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
You know what? I realized maybe I didn't even ask you this last time, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. But. Cerebral or cerebral?
Potato, potato.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough. I've always said cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
But then I say something is very cerebral. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Damn it.
It's a different pronunciation for different uses. I don't know.
Yeah, I try not to talk about it.
Okay. You're trying not to talk about it.
No, I always like to mention I do have cerebral palsy earlier in the interview. Otherwise, your listeners are like, that guy is wasted.
Yeah. Listen,
which is possible.
Listen,
buzzing a little bit.
We had Larry Flint here one time, and Larry's had a stroke, and his speech pattern.
And he talks like this.
And do you remember our boss was like,
What's with that guy?
Like, what happened with that guy?
He was shot in the face 9 times.
Did that he not him? Know? I forgot.
Bill's pop culture, it's spotty at best. So he was unaware of the attempted assassination of Larry Flint. That's why he sits in the chair. It's not because he's lazy.
Yeah. Well, one day my career will reach that point where I'll have an assassination attempt.
You're right. You know, but he's in a golden wheelchair, so it worked out for him.
Yeah. I'm not that level yet.
So. Yeah.
You've had a really interesting life. We were just talking off air I was asking you about your family because I'd talked about a shirt you brought with you last time, some really cool shirts, and you said your sister had done the artwork, and I thought maybe she was an artist, but she's a...
French teacher.
Yeah. And then you started to tell me the rest of you. You're the youngest of four.
Yeah, and all my siblings are language teachers, and my dad was an Italian and French professor.
And spoke how many languages or speaks?
13.
13 languages. So you're probably like speaking sub-tongues at that point as well.
Well, and the thing is, he's like in his 70s now, so he's like getting senile and like mixing all the languages. I'm like, I don't even know what you're saying, Dad.
Wow.
Do you know what's weird, Josh? Is that the my wife's uncle? It was a priest who married us, you know, years ago. He is, you know, is complete Irish, but his church, his parish was in Puerto Rico. So he when he was relaxed, spoke and thought in Spanish, but was not, you know, and it was just he had to actually work to move back to English, which is a weird thing.
It's crazy,
but
it's
that's why when I see these, I envy people who speak multiple languages. But when I see things like Rosetta Stone and stuff like that, to me, it won't work unless you actively use it all the time.
You have to be surrounded by
it.
Use it. I always said this too about my dad. Like, even though he spoke all those languages, he still couldn't communicate with my mom.
The most basic communication. Yeah, well, we talk about that. We work in the communications industry, and then sometimes people they don't know how to tell each other things. So it's all part of the deal. Do you have any fascination? You know, outside you speak French.
Yeah, I speak French, and I speak Wolof, which is a native language of Senegal, which is really not very useful.
No. Why do you speak that?
I lived in Senegal for a year, actually about 2 years on and off. And I did an internship in a zoo the last time I was there.
That is wild. Was that cool or depressing?
Awesome. It was real. I mean, both. The cages were really bad. But, they have different rules and regulations over there.
So like what?
Day one, they're like, here's a broom, clean the tiger cage. I'm like, what? And I love doing that, but my favorite thing I did over there was after about 2 months working there, I had the zookeepers lock me in a cage on display.
Oh, my God. Like a jungle boy?
Yeah, yeah. So I just had shorts on, no shirt. And, like, you take the cerebral palsy out of context, people were like, what is this? And I shared a wall of bars with a 400-pound silverback gorilla.
Wow.
He was a little jealous that I was in the cage. He was like throwing poop at me and like food. And it was actually the best I ate the whole time I was
in Senegal.
Yeah, people throwing me bananas and peanuts. It's amazing.
People don't realize when you're, because right here in the Philadelphia Zoo, they have a really cool primate enclosure. And okay, you see them on TV and then you see them up close and sweet mother of God.
Huge.
And astounding power.
It was cool. I became one of three people in the world that could pet him.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that like?
It's intense, for sure, man. Well, he would display this, he did this action, and then when he did that, it was like a symbol that you could reach through the bars and pet him. But when he came out of there, get your hand out of there.
Wow.
He will pull you through.
Yeah, I believe it.
Not from being mean either. Like, they said they used to go in the cage with him when he was a baby, and he just didn't want people to leave, so he'd, like, physically hold them.
Oh, my gosh.
One of my zookeeper buddies was stuck in the cage for 6 hours.
Do you ever go on safari or anything like that? You're obviously drawn to the animal.
Yeah, I went to Tanzania 2 summers ago and did some elephant and rhino conservation with the Denver Zoo. And
good for you,
man. I got some awesome experiences with places that normal folks don't get to go, like this big rhino sanctuary.
Do you still have to get like a whole array of shots when you travel in and out of the
area?
You're
supposed to, but I'm already jacked up. What else can happen? Dengue fever, whatever.
You still live in Denver?
Yeah, Denver, man. It's a great town.
It is
blowing
a great
up
town.
Right now, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I was reading that you have your own line of edible marijuana. It's called Mountain High Suckers.
Yeah, that's the company. The brand. We call it Josh Blue's Dream.
It's
made with all Blue Dream weed.
Let me ask you.
That's a strain?
Yeah.
Blue Dream? Okay. Yeah.
You're a working, popular comedian. You have a lot of irons in the fire in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Is it a possibility that this cottage industry will eclipse your main bread and butter?
Hopefully one day. It's only in Colorado right now, but we're moving into California and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So it's awesome.
People out of the, Mike Tyson announced he's starting up his own deal.
I believe it.
So how is it when you're out there and you're in the industry, does it have a sort of gold rush sort of feeling to it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Denver's like a boom town. They call it the Green Rush.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Are we seeing things like fortunes made overnight, or are we? Mm-hmm. We are.
Yeah. I mean, it's a billion-dollar industry in Denver alone.
Wow.
It's insane. And like 650 people move to Denver a day.
So, and you need not be directly connected? Can you be in the peripheral businesses?
Well, people don't even think about like the packaging,
the
advertisement. There's so much industry that comes in with it.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So you indulged prior to.
Yeah. People always ask me if weed like helps my cerebral palsy. Yeah. And I'm like, no, it messes me up more. I just like getting high.
Now, do you,
well,
you know,
thank you for being, upfront about that.
Yeah.
Some people are like, oh man, it helps with it. I'm like,
no, it doesn't.
You just like getting high.
If anything, it just makes me forget there's anything wrong.
I was in Colorado last week and I went into a weed shop in Aspen, and the dude that was working there was talking about the benefits of medical because he had back issues, and it was legit information that he was passing along. And then he was like, and then I smoked a really fat joint at the end of the day, and that got me really, really high. And it was just interesting because he was juxtaposing the medical benefits, which are legit, versus just wanting to get high at the end of the day.
And they can separate the two now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. The way they can just strip it down. And I guess is the edible stuff, is that... every bit as popular, if not more so, then...
It's almost more so at this point.
More so.
Because of the health, you know.
Yeah.
People don't like smoking.
Smoke, yeah.
And vaping. And I mean, you can do anything now. It's crazy. Like a weed soda. You're like, okay.
Yeah. I was really?
Like, yeah, yeah, anything. I mean, they have restaurants now. You can go in and get, like, weed-infused whatever.
It's just wild.
Weed quiche.
Weed quiche.
You got to be careful with the edibles, though, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they more powerful?
Well, they can be.
Harder to, like, know what you're getting. So, like, and it takes longer to go through your system. So, like, 45 minutes later, you're like, ah, it didn't work. I'll take another one. And then you're like, oh. Talking to mannequins and stuff.
Yeah. Talking to mannequins.
Is there a film that we read about that you have coming up?
You know, I was in a movie called 108 Stitches.
Okay.
It was a baseball movie, and I was the pitcher. So it's a comedy. It's a really unpredictable curveball, man.
Well, I was looking at a different one called The Funny Guy.
I wasn't aware of that, but I hope that works out.
Oh, starring Josh alongside Kevin Millmont and Lauren Kirk. It's in the works. The comedy will be about a professional stand-up comedian with mild cerebral palsy and going to humorous lengths to try and win over the guarded heart of a divorced nurse with a bullied teenage son.
Did you know about this, Josh?
No, I did not. That's so funny. Who's writing this?
Well, I don't know. Whatever you're selling is good.
That's the story of my life, though. I'm just trying to win over a disgruntled nurse. Mild cerebral palsy. All right, I'm gonna have to work on that.
The mild. Hey, speaking of your home life, there. Do you have a? Are you married? Do you have what's your?
I'm divorced. Has anybody ever got divorced and then realized that maybe you just needed a sandwich?
That was the revelation.
Oopsie daisies. Just a little hungry.
They call it hangry, right?
Yeah, hangry. Yeah. You're very hangry. No, I got two kids, 50% custody, so I love being a dad.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you mentioned it last time.
Yeah, being a dad's the best. I was never sure about the husband part, you know. You can't cage this.
You're a wild Appaloosa. Are you drawn to funny women? You would have to have someone. Like, my wife gets bombarded with questions, and she's always asked, you must laugh all the time. And so I say, yeah, and just tell people if that annoys you until he starts hitting me. Yeah. And that was the
girlfriend now is really funny. And, like, we were trying to figure out, like, what our thing was. We don't, like, rollerblade together. But our thing is talking trash, man. And she's really good at it. Yeah. I love it. It's funny. People are like, oh, women their top thing is they want a funny guy. I'm like, you know, that's BS.
It is.
If you're too funny, they don't like that either.
Right, right. It becomes annoying quickly, right?
Cross the line there, buddy.
But you'll hear that all the time. It's like when supermodels say, they all say it, I was a tomboy. No, you weren't. But that's the default answer. And then I want a guy who's funny. Mm-mm. So you have a significant other right now. You have one you're dating. But when you do you have game when you're out and about?
Oh, I spit mad game, dog.
Mad game
all day.
Yeah,
all day,
all day.
No, man, I'm a charming cat, you know.
Yeah,
I like the ladies. I like the chatting it up, you know, having fun, having a laugh. But you know,
you want a sandwich at the end of the day.
Yeah, you know exactly.
You just want a goddamn sandwich.
Yeah,
yeah.
We were looking at your Instagram, saw a picture. It was at the end of July, but you and William H. Macy together.
Yeah. Just did the Montreal Comedy Festival.
It's huge.
That's a big event. Yeah.
And I was on his gala. So it was a bunch of...
So can you explain how that whole thing works? Because I always hear clips from it, and it's just for laughs, right?
Yeah, just for laughs.
And is it a week-long thing? No, is it several different venues?
Week-long thing, tons of venues. I mean, they turn everything into a venue in Montreal. Like, there's a strip club that they rent out and do comedy and, like...
Really?
Full-on, like... Yeah. So the one we did together was, like, a 3,000-seat venue. It was a big old thing, and like Paula Poundstone and Piff and all these people were
Piff the magician. Yeah, in the dragon costume. Yeah, he's cool.
Oh, that's right. He's in the background of this picture. I put that one on
because he looks so like confused. Like, I want to be in the picture.
With his dog.
Yeah.
I like Piff. People, we had him on a while back, and people were kind of mixed on the reviews on him, but I think he's hilarious.
I'm just glad that I don't have to wear a costume for my show, man. Really, enough.
But that's it. Let me ask you something. We were talking. We were talking about Carrot Top. When I was doing stand up years ago, there was sort of a prop comics were looked down on.
Yeah,
but I think that sort of changed a bit, right?
No,
it hasn't. It's completely the worst. They're the worst.
I'm a purist of stand up. I believe it's a person and a microphone.
Okay,
and that's all you need. I don't ever like to poo poo on anyone's success, but try a little harder.
What about comedian magic comics who
practice? There's no magic. There's no comics. No,
there's just magicians who might be amusing.
Yeah, it's like magic, mimes, ventriloquists. They can all eat it.
Wow.
And I'll challenge any one of them to a fist fight.
you threw down. There you go. The offer's on the table.
Nice. We did see that you are not much of a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Is that the case?
Yeah, there was a tweet that said, now I can go back to hating Philly, # Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, I would say about this town, city of brotherly love, my ass. This is a rough town, man.
It is.
But I really enjoy it. I mean, you know, as far as football goes, you know, I'm trying to sell tickets, so go Eagles.
It's just weird because you're from Denver, and it doesn't, for me, as an Eagles fan, the Broncos aren't like a sworn enemy or anything like that.
No, it's just I just hate the Patriots more.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually a Vikings fan, so I can't say anything.
How'd that happen?
I grew
up in Minnesota. I went from Minnesota to Denver.
Okay.
So, and it's just easier to be a Broncos fan than a Vikings fan, but that's where my heart lies.
Yeah. Is there a sport you're drawn to that you yourself engage in?
Yeah, soccer. You know,
soccer's your sport?
Well, I used to play on the Paralympic national team.
That's right.
Yeah,
and did very well.
Well, for a guy with palsy, I guess. I was on the team for 8 years, been to 9 countries representing the U.S. And
so the Paralympics, the athletes are, there's some pretty amazing stuff going on.
Yeah, it's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. It's just like all these disabled people, not just surviving, but like thriving.
Yeah.
You know? And
What blew you away the most?
We played Russia, and now looking back, I think they were doping for sure. They were so good.
Yeah.
It's like, and sometimes I'd be on the field against them and just be like, okay, well, there's nothing even wrong with that guy right there. I call BS number 5.
Yeah. That's David Beckham.
And then they'd run by and be like, oh, his hand's on backward. All right.
It seemed like it's no fair. Like if your ailment was that you didn't have arms.
It didn't affect your particular sport that you chose.
There is
like glaucoma doesn't get it done.
You can to be on the soccer team, it's either palsy, stroke, or brain injury.
Okay,
so those are the 3 things. Or if you're Russia, you just mutilate an able-bodied person
and send them into the team.
Yeah.
So what do they do as far as drug testing? I assume for people who have to take certain drugs.
They do. It's the same test as the Olympics.
Same test. Olympics.
So,
wow.
So I used to get the random drug tests. Random. They would come to my house about every other day. That's just because the first time they showed up, I was like, clearing out the smoke of a joint, like, oh, you're here. Just knock on your door, like, oh, I need you to pee in this cup. I'm like, well, are you going to help me?
No.
Yeah. It's like,
would pot be prohibitive?
In competition, it is. Out of competition, it's not.
Okay.
I'm like,
why in competition? It's not an enhancer of any sort.
It's not a performance-enhancing drug.
Yeah.
It's like, I should get a medal for being able to play in that condition.
Yes. It's a performance-inhibiting drug.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That seems to be a little insane.
Did you get caught up in the World Cup?
Yeah, totally, man. It was fun. Yeah. I was going for Senegal.
Yeah?
You know.
You
how'd
to.
They do? I don't even know.
They made it nowhere.
Are you a sports bettor? Do you bet on?
No.
No.
Just me walking down the street is a bet.
That's a gamble.
For sure.
That's hey, great. I want to ask about cerebral palsy and people when they may meet you and not know you, know that sure. you're a comedian and this is your condition.
Right.
What are some of the more odd exchanges that you get from people from time to time who don't know that it's a cerebral palsy?
Well, the thing is like I live in this weird juxtaposition of a world where either you know me and you love me, or if you don't know me, I'm just some drunk-ass homeless guy.
Right.
So it's like walking down the street and be like, hey, it's Josh Blue. And they're like, get away from me, you drunk-ass. Like,
yeah.
But either way, I ask for a dollar.
Have you ever, just for the hell of it, played with it a bit?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely use it to my advantage. The way I look at it is if you're going to, like, prejudge me, then I'm all too happy to go down that road. Yeah. All right, let's have fun with it. Carry me.
Yeah.
Carry me.
And you're armed with it with a solid wit, so you can you can run some rings around them.
And I'm armed with a not so solid arm. No, it's fun, man. I don't know. The way I look is I'm just so comfortable with it that you don't have a right not to be.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? If you don't like it, don't watch it. But
can you drive?
Not legally.
Oh, okay.
I've driven 4 times and been in 2 accidents.
Okay. Those aren't good odds. Not good odds. Yeah.
But number 5 is not accident, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It goes back and forth.
Okay. It's still up for debate.
Yeah. We'll see. Break even.
That's
nice,
funny,
man. So while you're in Philadelphia, do you, now you've been here before, so it's not new to you, but do you take in some of the city or do you just kind of do the gig?
I like walking around, checking it out, man. Okay. It's, again, it's I fit right in this place, man. Just another wobbly guy on the sidewalk.
You know, though, we've been going through a really crappy summer. It's been rainy, and you know, where you come from, the weather's
so dry.
But it's just annoying. Do you get out a lot when you're at home? Do you hike or anything?
Yeah, man, I love it. I actually have
great trails out there.
Yeah, I have 80 acres in the mountains outside of Denver. And
damn.
I made
have 80 acres?
Yeah.
Wow.
Stole it during the recession.
Yeah. That's awesome. Excellent, man.
Yeah. So I've actually built a stage out there and a big old fireplace outdoor. Like,
so 80 acres, do you have like a creek or river or anything?
Yeah, creek right through there.
Man.
What do you do with the stage?
I have music shows and comedy shows.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty unique. We call it Blue Rocks.
Yeah.
Dude, you know, that like is Red awesome.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily familiar with the geography of Colorado, so I don't know where Telluride is.
Me either.
I don't know where Telluride is compared to where Denver is.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay. Because they have a bluegrass festival every year, and I just want to go, not for the music, but just kind of sit in the this valley that's surrounded by these beautiful mountains.
Well, you come to Blue Rocks, we'll hook you up, man.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's an interesting collection of people in Colorado, mm-hmm. and I've only visited a few times, but it's like, you know, you got your earthy granola types, mm-hmm. that are there. You got the people that want to party in the city. It's definitely unique. A lot of people that are very health conscious,
and then you got the hillbillies in the mountains that are just gun-toting.
Going to Blue Fest.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun.
Do you have a lot of off the grid folk around there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Oh yeah. There's some real nuts up there for sure.
I remember going down at there was a family I forget who I was visiting down in Tennessee, and we were, you know, by a rural area, and the guy at the store said, "I'm going to go hiking in this area." He goes, "Don't go in there." Don't go in there.
Squeal like a piggy, boy.
Yeah, and I didn't go in there. Yeah, because you just know there's some people who are there because they're not gregarious, you know?
Well, I'm lucky, you know, looking like this. If you see me in the woods, I'm the guy you're afraid of.
Yeah.
And avoid that trail.
Right.
Well, listen, I want to give a heads up on ticket information for Josh tonight and tomorrow night at Helium Comedy Club. The shows are 7:30 and 10. You can go to heliumcomedy.com. $22 for that's where they start. But make sure you catch Josh. He's awesome, and we love having him by here, and maybe you see him wobbling around Philly somewhere. Well, enjoy your time here, man. It's nice to see
you. Yeah, man, you too. This is the best make-a-wish ever.
We went to a lot of strings to get you here.
We found out you love turkey bacon.
Let's hear it for Josh Blue, everybody. Oh, thanks, man. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We will have the winner of the Indianapolis 500, Will Power, in our studio. So make sure you stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Steven makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Steven Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now that is Triumph on 93.3 WMMR, and Lay It on the Line came out in 1979, and that was the year that MMR turned 11, and this continues our series of special weekends celebrating 50 years in Philadelphia, and so you're going to hear songs of that ilk throughout the course of the weekend, and bands who had new music out that year included Pink Floyd, The Clash, The Police, Cheap Trick, Neil Young, on and on and on. Zeppelin had new music out in 1979.
You and I and Chuck are huge Triumph fans. And yep. When I think of Triumph, Preston, I think of my Dodge Dart with the Slant 6 engine.
There you
my
go.
My Pioneer detachable cassette player.
Wow.
And
so no one would steal it, right?
No one would steal it. State of the art. Yeah. It was actually worth more than the car.
I believe it.
And but yeah, great memories.
We will reminisce all those things this week on MMR. It is sponsored by Meineke Car Care Centers. And check out everything you know about MMR and the 50th at WMMR.com. We have a guest standing by. We're going to take a look at traffic first and then welcome him to our studio. Kathy, what's going on this morning?
We've got another accident in that construction zone on 95 northbound out in Bucks County at 413. It's now blocking the left lane. There was one earlier this morning, a pretty bad one. It cleared out, and now there's another one, and it is jamming up again from Street Road to 413 on the northbound side of 95. Southbound is in pretty good shape. Blue Route southbound slows near Route 1, and then northbound from Media to Route 1 as well. Schuylkill Expressway eastbound backing up from Gulf Mills into the Blue Route, the Boulevard to the Vine, westbound University to the Vine, and then City out to Gladwin. PA Turnpike westbound slows Willow Grove to Fort Washington, 422 eastbound. Jams Trooper to 23, and then in New Jersey, you've cleared out 295, 42, 55, looking good. Bridges are all okay. This traffic report brought to you by the Malvern School. They celebrate memorable moments in a child's life every day. That's the Malvern way. Now enrolling for fall for children 6 weeks to 8 years old. Schedule a tour at malvernschool.com. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. So the Pocono Race Series is taking place this weekend. The guest in our studio has won back-to-back at Pocono in 2016-2017, looking for a three-peat this time around. Oh, and he won a little thing called the Indy 500 this year.
Oh, yeah.
Please welcome Mr. Will Power.
Yeah.
To our studio today.
Good morning.
Welcome. Thanks for coming in, Will.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, I wanted to get right into the Indy thing. I'm a big golf is my sport.
Speed golf.
I watch the majors, obviously, and we just had the PGA Championship, and there's the Masters and the British Open and the U.S. Open. You win a major, and you're your legacy is solidified within the sport. Is it similar? Is Indy that as well? You get that win and you've reached another level.
Yes, absolutely. That's the race as an IndyCar driver, mm-hmm. or even in just in motorsports in general. If you win it, you are solidified as a whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in a pantheon with other.
Yes.
Yeah, and so that is a legacy maker. Correct.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
But it really, I mean, outside of the legacy, what makes it so much different than every time you get in a car to race against a pack of guys who are of the elite level as yourself?
It's the history of it.
Okay. Yes.
You know, it's been around for more than 100 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, to get your face on the BorgWarner Trophy, you know, it's just such a big deal because you have so many legends from, you know, for over 100 years. It's a history. It's the speed of the race. It's the type of track it is. I mean,
Of the different races that you engage in, did you enjoy it? Or in other words, what race or what track, what do you enjoy? Where do you enjoy the most? I mean, where do you really feel this is why I love this sport so much?
You feel that when you win. Basically.
When you win. Yeah. Okay. No, that's honest. Yeah, no, sure.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, you have so many bad days in racing. You know, these days, over a season of 17 races, you're lucky to win three if you're doing a really good job. So
you have to have a sense of resolve and resilience if you're going to participate.
Yes, yes. You got to be mentally strong and able to move on very quickly from bad weekends because you're going to have a lot of bad weekends.
Yeah.
You know, over your career. So, you know, that's... but when you win, it's just such an amazing feeling because it's so hard to win now. So many good guys and good teams in the series.
So you drive to win in every race, but do you also have a not necessarily a goal, but an idea of, okay, a top 10 place and I'll walk away with this feeling I did a decent job, you know, or top five or whatever it may be?
Yeah, well, you know, over 17 races, you want to win that's the championship, and you get points, obviously, every race. So, you know, that's an overall goal for the year. But for the Indy 500, if you don't win, you walk away disappointed. There is no, like, you finish second and it feels worse than finishing sixth because you're that close.
So yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's the one race where, you know, there's 33 drivers start, 32 drivers are going to walk away disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, but as far as the season goes, yes, top fives, that's great results. You know, you get a top five every week, you're going to win the championship.
Let me ask you, though, with racing, with all of this, you know, we tend to think of it as the driver, as you. You're the show. But it is essentially a team sport in a way because of the car prep and the pit crew and all that. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very much so. You know, you have a strategist, you have an engineer, you have a team of guys working on the car, you have a team of guys changing. Pit stops are 5 seconds. You know,
5 seconds.
5 seconds. They change the tires and the fueler has to get in, like, you know, we video every stop, and then they'll go review it back at the shop after the race and say, oh, you know, you took half a second too long to get in.
Would the best person for the fueler, would it be best to hire from the porn industry where they're used to sticking things?
Yeah. Well, actually, a lot of guys are from the we got a couple of guys from the porn industry, but most of them are from the football, ex-footballers, big guys.
Grab because it's a big nozzle and you got to get it.
Big nozzle.
Yeah. Wow. It's just astonishing.
How did you get started? Did you start with go-karts or something like that when you were a kid?
I did, yes. Mm-hmm. Go-kart. Yeah, go-karting's huge over here. You know, it's like a world champion for go-karting, if you guys can believe that. Seriously, people make careers out of go-karting. But it's awesome racing. Like, it's really, really intense, racing.
I remember the first time I heard of it was way back when Alancer Jr. won the Indy 500, and he was on a talk show, and he's like, because he had a really, I forgot who it was Mears or somebody was behind him and really right on his ass, and he was crediting his years as a go-kart driver as being able to maneuver and hold on in first place.
Yeah, I mean, go-karting teaches you awesome racecraft. It's just such close, tight-knit racing. You got to be a perfectionist to get it right, because if you you know, if you're not neat and tight and you slide the car a bit, it really bogs down because you haven't got that much power. So it teaches you very good habits.
What other forms of racing are you a fan of outside of Indy? Because you've got a variety of all kinds of different racing out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I watch NASCAR. I watch, you know, like dirt track, you know, any racing, really.
Yeah. Is there anything racing that you haven't tried that you'd like to someday, just for fun, not necessarily as a profession?
Yes. Actually, I'd love to try sprint car.
Yeah. Sprint cars are cool. Yeah, they are cool.
They're mega. Like, they are, like, literally just an engine with wheels.
Yeah.
And a big engine with wheels.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no, they're serious beasts. I would love to try one of them.
What kind of tech is available now in the car? Because we know that you have you know, you're in communication. You got the headset. Yeah. There are closed circuit cameras that at least I've seen before. They carry images from the vehicles and stuff like that.
Yes.
Are you monitored? Is your physical status monitored as well?
No, actually, I'm thinking about bringing that in, but you could wear a heart rate monitor in the car, but basically Everything on the car has sensors, so you can overlay data from your teammate. You can see what throttle position, what speed, what brake pressure, what steer angle, how the dampers worked, what revs, everything. You can just overlay that on a screen, so you can tell, and that's what's made it so close these days, that everyone knows how to drive fast now, because you can see exactly what your teammate's doing.
Are you able to see it in a HUD or?
No, basically, you go out in practice, you do a 6-lap run, you come in, you'll have a iPad put in front of you, and it'll have all the data from your run and your teammate's run. So it's like, oh yeah, he's getting off the brake here, he's on the throttle a bit more here, or
and that's why you're
more speed.
You're saying that's why everyone is so neck and neck these days.
That's why everyone. Wow. Yeah, it's all about execution now.
Yeah. Right, so I want to ask about, because how far into the season are we right now?
We got four to go.
Four to go, and you're currently ranked fourth.
Yes.
Okay, and your teammates are where?
I got one teammate in front of me who's third.
Okay, so my question is this. Are you trying to beat him? Okay.
That was quick.
It's kind of funny. It's, you know, you got to work with your teammate.
Yeah.
Sit in the engineering office and debrief after sessions and be honest with each other about what you found and what's faster and what's not.
Right.
But you also, that is usually the guy. I mean, that's a guy you're going to be fighting in the championship as well.
So do you hold back a bit?
It's a tough. I mean, you got to keep something for yourself, but you can't really hide anything because you got video, like you said. Mm-hmm. You've got all the data. There's nothing to hide. Like, if he does his homework, he'll know.
So you can't say something like, if I were you, I'd drive slow.
Yeah, exactly. There's a bit of that goes on, but it's a weird dynamic. You're supposed to be friends off the track.
Right, yeah. But it is a team, yeah.
It's a competition, so it's a really interesting dynamic to have. And to be so close in the standings right now for a teammate and a competitor.
Yeah.
You won in 2014.
Yes.
Right? So you won the whole thing. But what's weird is at that final race, I guess you had such a commanding lead. That final race, you ended up coming in ninth, but you still won the championship.
Yeah. I actually led that race for a while, but I didn't need to. It was actually my teammate. I was racing the championship, and he got a drive-through penalty, and he was a lap down. So you were just playing it safe. Yeah, I just kind of dropped back.
Because there was a race a few years back where if it was you, I apologize. But there was a gentleman who was winning the race, and then at the final turn, he ended up crashing and losing the race.
I think I know. You took the Indy 500?
Yeah.
That was J.R. Hildebrand.
Okay.
If you can imagine, he was an American rookie in the National Guard car. He would have been an American rookie win the 500 on the last corner.
Wow.
He went into the wall last, and he had a lead. Like,
oh no!
Oh man, I saw him at the party after, and I just went up and hugged him and said, "Oh my, you know, like man."
Yeah,
but, I mean, for the rest of his life.
That's the nature. That's what is so compelling about the sport, because it can literally on a turn go completely.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. I got a big laugh out of it because Norm McDonald, he did like a little voiceover dubbing because he was doing some sort of talk show.
Yeah.
And it was him turning into the final turn. He's like, oh my God, I'm totally going to win this thing. And then he crashes into the wall. So I ended up getting a laugh out of it. So.
Well, then I guess it was well worth it. I don't know.
I'm sure he would say so as well.
Speaking of tracks, which you had mentioned at the top and their individuality, I had a really cool opportunity earlier this year. Jimmy Johnson, NASCAR fame, was in town and did some ride-alongs, and I got to ride along at Pocono. And so as we're driving, he's pointing out spots on the track of here's where this happens, and here's we got to watch this because it's bumpy there. You know every inch of all these tracks by heart at this point?
You do, you know, and they change every year because a new bump comes. And
no kidding. It's as much as a small little bump that aware of.
Yeah, the smallest thing. It's amazing, especially in our car. We haven't got much suspension travel. I mean, we're basically sitting on the ground. Yeah.
Jesus.
So you feel any little bump and, you know, if the track loses grip over the winter and it gets polished online. Like, there's so many details that you would never think about.
What do you, when you think of Pocono, when somebody mentions that, what do you think about?
It's a cool track. It's a cool track. Like, you got the turn one, which is like a very banked turn, so you can carry a lot of speed. I mean, you can almost go wide open there. And
the three turns are very different from each other.
They're all very different, yeah. And turn two's got a bit more banking, and then the last turn's like Indianapolis, which is flat, so you can slide the car. So it's really hard to get a setup there. But it's a very unique and cool oval.
Do you, at some point, let the car slip a little bit to know its particular threshold that day?
That's the tough thing about oval racing. You know, we race road course and oval, but yes, that's the thing you have to creep up on in our cars because it just lets go like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it takes a lot of experience to understand that feel. Where a NASCAR kind of really tells you what it's going to do and it slides and you can catch it. The IndyCar, you're driving very straight and, you know, just the tiniest little, even wind catches you out, like gust of wind.
Yeah. You'll feel it?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow. At Indy, can you literally feel the bricks as you're going over it? Because it's so small. It's so narrow. That's too minuscule?
They've done such a good job of blending that in that you hardly feel it.
Back to Pocono, it's got one of the longest stretches, I think, in tracks that you're going to find because it's only got three turns. It's a super speedway. Yeah. How fast do you get going on that long stretch before you get to turn one?
230, 225, 230.
Miles per
hour?
This is crazy.
Yeah.
That's like Kathy's
speed. Right,
she does drive fast, man. Don't let her fool you.
Here's a silly question that I'm not sure if you've ever gotten it before. Are you any good at Mario Kart?
Oh, no, I'm not, actually. I had to play that against a couple of drivers, and I didn't do very well at all. What? That's bloody bananas, man.
What?
Is that the bananas?
Yeah, the bananas, yeah. They're literally bananas in the game.
Yes.
Of the video games, you know, there are games like Gran Turismo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you play any? Are they fun for you since you do the real thing?
I tell you, there is an awesome... It's a simulation, but it's an online game. It's called iRacing. And it is dead on.
Dead on.
Really?
I'm going to believe you. Yeah.
They scan the tracks, and I'm telling you, like,
iRacing.
iRacing. If you want, like, the experience of, it's not an arcade game. Like, you've actually got to work hard to get up to your license. It's quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But iRacing.
Are you using a wheel?
Phenomenal job.
Are you using a wheel simulator?
Yes.
All
right. You use a wheel, and you race other guys online. There's a lot of people who do it. There's got to be like 50,000 members or something.
I guess is this it up here that we're seeing here? I guess it is.
Yeah, that's it. See, you can even race on dirt, but it's really good, true racing online. Really, really good.
I'll have to check that out.
If you're just joining us, Will Power, winner of the Indy 500, racing at Pocono this weekend, from Australia originally, but you live in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes.
Have you been there for a number of years now?
Yes, since 2010, yeah.
What is it? Now, racing is just crazy popular in Charlotte. You just go to the airport. I've never spent time in Charlotte, but if you're in a layover, there's racing all over the airport there. Are there a lot of drivers that live in Charlotte?
There's a lot of NASCAR drivers living there, yeah, because all the NASCAR teams are based there.
Okay.
And that's where we actually have Roger Penske's who I drive for. I mean, he's got a NASCAR team and he's got the IndyCar team as well, so they're all under one roof.
Penske,
very, very big racing town.
Penske family is royalty, right?
Yes, yes. If you can drive for Roger, I mean, he's the best guy. Give him the best equipment every week, best chance to win. So, I've been real, real lucky to drive for him.
Very cool.
All right, so you race in Pocono this weekend, and then where after that?
Then we race St. Louis at Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go out to California for the last two. Well,
you guys
Oregon
do Watkins Glen, right?
Not anymore.
No?
Yeah, we did last year. We're not doing that anymore.
Okay.
If you wrote a self-help book, would it be called Willpower with Willpower?
Oh.
Yes.
Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I got three brothers.
Any of them in racing?
No, one's a comedian.
Really?
One's a breakdancer, and the other one's...
A breakdancer?
Other one's... Like
professionally?
Unemployed. Yeah, yeah, seriously. Yeah, he choreographed. He was a professional breakdancer, now he...
The other one's a beeper salesman.
No, he's unemployed.
Unemployed.
He was like an accountant. Yeah, the older brother.
Okay.
He's an odd dude.
But racing does run in the family.
Your
father, your grandfather.
Yes, yes. My great-grandfather, my father raced.
No kidding. To what level did they get to?
My dad raced open wheel cars. He could have been professional, but he just, I mean, he had some businesses, so he just did it for fun.
Where are you in the lineup of your brothers?
I'm the second youngest.
Okay.
Got two
cool.
older brothers, yeah.
Because you can lord it over the older ones that didn't succeed as well.
I do that all the time.
No,
I don't have to say anything anymore.
I was wondering if, like, you know, it was he was the baby of the family, and they were like, all right, let's try this last time to get somebody into racing.
We're hoping you're going to be successful.
Yeah, no, they all tried it.
Yeah.
You know, my older brother, right, they all tried it. And, yeah, I was the only one that wanted to keep going and pushing hard. Yeah, you got to work hard to make it.
Sure,
everything.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to sacrifice.
Yes. Yeah, I see my brother, he's a comedian. I mean, you can't believe how hard he works every day to write new material and write a new hour every year. Is just, you know, a lot of work. So yeah.
I'm fascinated by racing and what it takes to get to the elite level that you're at. Obviously, you have to have talent, but along the way, you've got to take some steps to get there. And it's not cheap either, or at least it can't be. And I'm curious how, you know, if maybe out there in the world, there might be some guy who is really talented and never got a chance to have that experience, and we may have missed some champion out there. That
guy's name is Gary Lauer.
You wouldn't know who that is. But he headed down another path in life. What is generally, how does one get to your level outside of just being talented?
Yeah.
You got to win some small local races and have people see some interest in you and put some money, invest in you?
Yes, it's actually very difficult to make it to the top in racing. I mean, you start in karts, which is reasonably cheap as far as motorsport goes. And, you know, you can be picked up by a manufacturer or Red Bull or, you know, have someone who wants to invest in you. Or you can, like me, I mean, I spent years... You know, I went to Europe for 3 years and, you know, even before that in Australia, at the end of every year, I'm like, I'm out. I'm going to have to go back to work. And, you know, I was working at the time, but
it's erratic, isn't it?
It's very, like, I never would have dreamed I would make it.
Right.
I didn't have the money. It costs a lot in all those junior categories before you make it to a place like IndyCar and you get paid. But
are those sponsors everything? I mean, so you talk about Red Bull and getting someone.
Yeah,
someone
if you're lucky,
you.
that's lucky. Like,
right.
Just a few lucky people get that. Where Red Bull's okay, we're going to pay for all the junior categories all the way up to Formula One or NASCAR or IndyCar. You know, it's just it's hard yards. Hard yards.
Well, because in American sports, and I'm sure it's all around the country, all around the world. But you know, some kid on a high school football team will start to shine as a talented individual, and then people start to pay attention, and they start to watch, and then they start making offers. And so it can even start younger than that, Casey.
Oh, sure, sure.
Middle school, right?
Well, I mean, maybe not with football, but with like basketball and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and then and baseball, you know, because my nephew's been playing baseball at a fairly elite level, but he's not a pitcher. So people aren't looking at 15-year-old
center fielders
and left fielders. But if you're 14, 15 years old and you're 6'3" and you're throwing 90 miles per hour, everybody's watching you right now.
Yeah. That's hard in racing. I mean, you get to a point where, yes, people are looking at you, but it's so hard to get to that point. Like, there's been a lot of money spent, your parents putting money in and, you know, finding little bits of sponsors here. You know, I went into debt to make it to where I got, and I had to pay people back when I started earning money. So it's a sport that requires a lot of money to run. yeah. series, like those junior categories, you know, that can be from $500,000 to $1 million to run a season. And these kids are finding it, you know, find money and find ways to get there. And even if they have to pay investors back. So it's just it's a tough sport in that respect. It's a pity.
Yeah.
That, you know, some people miss out. Like you say, there are people out there that deserve to make it, but don't.
It's the nature of the beast, though.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Going back to baseball for a moment that you mentioned, Casey, you got to throw out the first pitch at the Phillies game last night.
Yes.
That's a big honor.
That is, yeah. I was actually going to bowl it like cricket,
right?
Like, and my wife took me out of it. I was like, I'm gonna bowl it, and she's like, I don't know if it'd go well over here. I don't know how people would take that. So I didn't. I what you call a pitch?
How did it go? How did it go?
Yeah, it made it to the guy. So
That's all happy. If you ever do it again, the standard rule is if you go high, they say ooh. If you go low, they say boo.
Okay.
So if it hits the ground, then you get a boo. But if you if you get high, aim high.
Yeah, well, I think it was in that box.
Is
it
the strike zone?
Yeah, yeah. I think it was okay.
All right.
Yeah. It wasn't fast, but
it doesn't matter.
It was there.
You don't need to. It's not your sport.
All right. Well, this weekend, when are time trials and all that? Is that
that's Saturday? Yeah,
on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. Qualifying. Okay.
And listen, Pocono is a wonderful place. It's right in our backyard. From where I go, it only takes me about an hour to get there.
Yeah,
I live a little further up off the Northeast Extension. But if you've never been, this place is gigantic.
It'll blow your mind just to see it, the track and the whole way. It becomes a city.
Yeah, and I love this track, and the people that run it are great, and they have wonderful events. So it's this weekend, and don't miss out on it because you're gonna let some great entertainment get past you, and it's very exciting stuff. So, hey, Will, congratulations on all your success. Best of luck in the rest of the season, and good luck at Pocono this weekend. We thank you for coming by here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. It's Will Power.
Yeah!
On the President Steve Show. We'll break and we'll be back in just a second. Stay with us. We'll do some more giveaways. Our friends from Godshall's Turkey Bacon serving up breakfast this morning. You know what? I'll take caller 10 and I'll give you those coupons at 215-263-WMMR. We'll be back in just a moment.
Preston and Steve.
This summer.
Surprise!
The MM Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. I would like to take a moment before we get into the bizarre file to congratulate a fellow brother or sister in arms, a fellow jock, and she's been at it for a long time. Works at our sister station and is celebrating 25 years at WMGK.
Wow. Yes.
The amazing Debbie Calton.
And we would like to
congratulate Debbie. She's a sweetheart and she is wonderful to listen to on the radio.
She's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. She's always pleasant. She's charitable. She's she's just the absolute best.
And so there's, and I didn't get the details of where. I know that there's a party this afternoon. In fact, our offices are closing early.
Yes. Yeah.
So that people can get to it. It's in Media and...
It's a good... so it's a bar in Media because she's a media chick.
Yeah. And
I can...
I can't think. I'm having a horrible time with names today.
It's the Debbie Calton Inn.
No.
Is it like...
Broadcasting? No, this afternoon. The afternoon's on MGK. God damn it.
What is Andre? It?
Andre!
Oh, you were looking for a name of a human
Andre
being.
Andre Gardner. Andre Gardner will be broadcasting. Wait, Matt Court, come in here.
Yes.
Matt
Court,
a fellow. Matt Court! He's jockeying from Ben FM.
Where's Miss Anelli?
Yeah. Why aren't you still on the air? Oh, you guys get done at
night. Barsky's on now.
Oh, okay.
And now,
where's Debbie's get-together today?
Tap 24 on State Street.
Okay.
And media. And Tommy Stinson and Chip, her husband, are playing.
Yeah.
They have a thing called Cowboys in the Campfire.
Yeah.
So
Debbie was telling me that, yeah, they're going to play, and he put out word, so there's going to be tons of people.
You ever see Chip play guitar?
I have not.
Phenomenal
slide. Is he really?
Yeah. And then Tommy.
Uses his penis.
No. He's one of the best slide guitar players I've ever seen.
No kidding.
Yeah. Chip is serious.
I want to see that.
You going to the get-together
today? Yeah, I'm going. You guys going?
I'm going to try to get over there. Yeah.
I have the Indian Valley Education Fund golf outing. My wife is a board member. And
that sounds made up.
I made it up. So I am doing that today, but I sent an email to Debbie a couple of weeks ago telling her I wish I could be there.
Chase, you going?
I can. I have
Indian board?
I have something made up as well. No, I have to head down there.
You guys.
But it's a real shame.
Matt, are you going and you're going for the entire run? Are you staying late?
Yeah, I'm going. No, Matt Cowper's going too.
Oh, well, then I'm not going. Oh, speaking of Cowper, I got to do a shout out.
I got to run. Thanks.
All right, see you later. Matt Cord.
Hey!
We all love each other, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think there's a lot of competition and so forth. But I listen, we all do this for a living on a microphone. And whether you're a sister station or not, there's a thing. It's a brotherhood.
It's a brotherhood, a sisterhood.
Well, when I first started working here.
Gender fluidhood.
With you guys 13 years ago, I was excited to meet Debbie Cowper because I had listened to her. The summer of 97, I was a lifeguard at a pool that nobody came to.
The summer of 97.
And I listened to her every single day.
Yeah.
So I was, I remember the first time I met Debbie, I was working at Y100 and MGK had a tent set up at like a baseball game or something like that. And all the stations were out there. And I'm like, are you really Debbie Cowper? And I came over and I'm Preston. I work at a radio station called Y100.
I love you guys. So, my name is Preston.
I admire other jocks and listen to them and get a kick out of everybody's shows, and Debbie's great.
When you're talking decades, you know,
25 years
of entertaining people.
And one radio station.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So congratulations to Debbie and the get-together today.
Hey, there was a mention earlier of Cowper, and I've been asked a couple of days ago to do a shout-out or shard-out for him.
So,
I'm going to do this now.
He's our national sales manager.
He's the guy who talks like this whenever we do the impression. I feel sick.
Yeah. We've been working with him since Y100.
Yes.
For a long, long time.
I went to college with him, so I've known him since 1993. Well,
you guys
listen.
Get drunk and get sick all over the place.
Sick. Yeah. Oh, saw a movie last night. I was sick.
Well, I don't
Apparently,
know.
All dogs go to heaven.
I don't know if he was sick or not, but I'm giving a shout out to his doctors. All the girls over at
bad nose for you. You're sick.
He's got a bad nose, deviated septum and stuff.
He got a nose job?
Sure. And so he wants to give a shout out to all the women at Burger and Henry in Oaks, PA.
All right.
For you girls.
Well, Matt's a Steve. Great guy.
Dr. Cowper.
It's a bad nose for you. You're sick. It's okay, though. I could schedule a colonoscopy. Something with your septum.
All right.
I stand up spitting all over my microphone when I do Cowper impressions.
All right. So if we're going to do shout outs, I have an in studio shout out. This is from Eva and Davis. It is Eva, right?
Yes.
Okay. Eva, not Eva. There's a porn star named Eva Naughty, by the way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Eva is her name. Eva Davis and Davis to Richard, Andy, Colleen, and Frank. And Sergeant Wayne O'Connell. So a shout out. There you go. I don't know who those people and what they mean to you, but I'm sending a shout out.
We don't need to know.
Mm. All right. We need to do the bizarre file. So let's go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
All right. And this morning it is brought to you by God Shawls. And you can cook out and eat lighter with Godshall's Real Meat, Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon, 94% fat-free and 80% less fat than most pork bacon. Discover hundreds of recipes at godshalls.com. All right, so yesterday, dear friend, if you listen to the Bizarre File at this particular time of day, I started a Bizarre File story and I said, no, I'm going to save it for tomorrow. And that was not right for me to do that. I'm going to give you this story that I did in the earlier Bizarre File.
You rarely do this.
I don't repeat the stories, but I'm doing this for you in case you didn't like the fact that I skipped over it. An Indian father fractured his penis after his child fell over his erection after jumping on him to wake him up.
Oh, my balls!
So you're laying in bed, you know, your kids come in, wake you up, that type of thing. That's
Daddy,
exactly
Daddy.
But it landed on... on the guy's member. The bizarre accident...
Son, you broke my penis!
...has been published in a prestigious medical journal by doctors in India who revealed the man had taken Viagra.
Ooh.
The 36-year-old, who has not been named, sought help from medics 2 days after the excruciating injury. He complained about his deformed penis, which was also swollen and causing him lots of pain. He had used Viagra, yeah.
Now's the time for breaking your penis. An erection for the better part of a month.
The patient admitted taking 100 milligrams of Viagra the night before the injury, and it persisted after...
Got some bad news. Oh. Your penis is broken.
Sick. It had persisted. His erection persisted after sex, forcing him to resort to vigorous self-pleasure, but that failed to combat his priapism.
By the way, is that the default instruction? If something just tells me, he figured, well, since I have this...
Well, I think he wanted to get rid of it, so he figured that's how it usually works in the natural state.
Sure.
So he tried it.
This is supernatural.
The man went to bed hoping that it would cease overnight, but while he was sleeping, his child mistakenly jumped on him and broke his penis. He suffered severe pain.
Yes, my son broke my penis. I'd like to come in for a visit.
Surgeons found a tear in his right corpora cavernosa, which is a sponge-like tissue that stores the blood, which they repaired. The doctor who dealt with the patient revealed the man was able, 6 weeks after the treatment, to perform once again.
Boy, I'd be reticent.
Yeah, and he had been left with no permanent deformity, despite him complaining that about his penis being eggplant-shaped after the injury.
Eggplant-shaped?
Yeah, so apparently he's okay now, though. A strange package parachuted down Monday in Castro Valley was about as suspicious as they come. The parcel, two styrofoam boxes fastened together, sprouted wires and made a humming sound. Attached to the note was a device with the word dangerous on it.
Mm.
No wonder the California Highway Patrol, which was called by residents to the location, notified the bomb squad. The bomb squad investigated the object and decided that they had no choice but to blow it up. But after they destroyed the package, deputies found it contained scientific instruments in it.
Scientific instruments?
Professor Sen Chao, director of the Center for Applied Atmospheric Research and Education in San Jose State University, said that the equipment is used to measure upper air ozone content and that it had been attached to a balloon and launched by students. The balloon carried the devices high up to about 25 kilometers in the atmosphere before it burst. A parachute ensured that the packages landed safely. Now, the equipment was worth about $1,000. And as for the note on the package that said dangerous, it originally said not dangerous. But police said the knot had gotten separated from the dangerous during the wear and tear of the flight.
This makes me think of the 3 or 4 vag projects where we lost the vag.
Yeah.
We know it returned to Earth somewhere, but we had messages on those as well.
Chow acknowledged that the incident underlined the need for better labeling of scientific equipment used in atmospheric research. An Arizona teenager is lucky to be alive after he was struck by lightning while walking through a park last week. 13-year-old Josiah Weidman and his friend Javier Tapia were walking home when a line of severe thunderstorms rolled into Phoenix. And as it started to rain, a massive bolt of lightning actually struck Josiah, launching him into the air and stopping his heart. Javier was also struck, but he was not seriously injured. Randomly, he said, "I felt this burst of heat, and then everything went dark."
It's amazing.
A neighbor who witnessed the teen getting struck rushed over and started to perform CPR, which saved his life. Paramedics arrived and rushed Josiah to the hospital, where he remained in a coma for 3 days. When he woke up, he had very little memory of what happened. His parents said he remembers jumping back on his skateboard and going back home. He thought that he was at home and asleep for 2 hours when it turned out to be 3 days.
That's astonishing.
Just 2 days after waking up, Josiah was released from the hospital and walked out under his own power. He's still going to need to go to physical and speech therapy.
It's amazing.
But is expected to make a full recovery. I saw a series of photos the other day of people who had been struck by lightning.
Yes.
And the scars that it leaves on your body. And I'm not sure, 100%. I need to go back and check the validity of it and make sure that they're real. But it's wild. It
is
looks
it like a burn?
Like small lightning strikes.
Yes, we had a guy
all over their body.
Remember the guy we had in here?
Yeah.
He had a similar sort of thing. So as it's conducting through your body, it branches out almost like a lightning strike.
Takes on that shape. Yeah. And it's pretty wild. But there are several people who have survived lightning strikes, and this kid is one of them. This is a big oops. The lead witness in a gangland murder trial has been beaten after prison guards placed him in the same cell as the accused killer he was testifying against.
Well. Oh, my God.
Oops.
Sorry about that, bro.
Non-association orders were sent to corrective services, however. Sources say the witness and the accused
look who it is.
Were put in the same area of Silverwater Metropolitan and Remand Center. The injury sustained by the witness meant that he was unable to face court on Wednesday, where he was due to give evidence in the trial of the Victorian man. A spokesman has confirmed an inmate was treated for minor injuries, and while it is unclear who carried out the assault, an investigation is underway.
You think there'd be like a post-it note on that?
Yeah. Don't put this guy in with the killer. Yeah.
You don't think that the guy, when he was being led into the cell, turned around and said,
by the way, this is the guy I'm testifying against.
Yeah. Right? They don't listen to those guys.
No.
He was an inmate himself, so yeah.
Charges.
Right. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. I want to give away some more Godshall's turkey bacon, who are wonderfully feeding our guests here this morning. I can take three callers at 215-263-WMMR. I'll give you a six-pack of coupons, good for six full-size packages.
Yep.
Of Godshall's turkey bacon. And you can pick up the coupons at the station during your business hours. So anyhow, you can also get those at your local grocery store. Godshall's is 94% fat-free, real wood smoked turkey bacon, available at Acme, Redner's, and ShopRite. Or you can ask for it at your local grocer. 215-263-WMMR is the number. When we get back, we'll see if you've been paying attention. A lesson question about today's show, some music news, and more. We'll be back in just a moment.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Fighters on 93.3 WMMR, All My Life. Preston and Steve Show, 4 minutes after 10 o'clock. We may have an afternoon shower, but a late afternoon, like 6 o'clock-ish. I'm hoping it's that late. Partly cloudy skies, day high of about 91. Afternoon thunderstorms maybe tomorrow, 85. And then maybe some rain on Sunday, too, 77. So
you have a charity golf thing today, right?
Yeah, I do. I have the Indian Valley Education Fund golf outing, which will be at Macoby Run, which is a really fun event. But I'm just hoping the weather's going to hold out. So we will see about that. And hopefully your weekend's going to be all right. Check your local forecast and see how it's panning out. Because just a couple of days ago, they were calling for a great weekend. I mean, hot, but no rain.
And no, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore!
All right, we're going to do today's lesson question and give away a pair of tickets to see Hasan Minhaj at the Miriam Theater on Sunday, September 23rd. And the question I have for you this morning is, what type of mooning should be acceptable and allowed? A special type of mooning. 215-263-WMMR. What type of mooning should be acceptable and allowed? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. And while you are calling, we will do the Hollywood Trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins, Delaware Diamonds. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, after multiple divorce filings and claims of drug abuse, Jay Moore and Nikki Cox are officially divorced. Moore says it's all been a devastating nightmare, and he's ecstatic to be able to kiss Cox goodbye.
Oh my God.
And speaking of divorce, Jack and Lisa Osborne are finally no longer man and wife, with Jack paying out a huge settlement and child support. Lisa says she was touched by a kind email from father-in-law Ozzy, but eventually realized that a cat had just walked across the laptop. And finally, Suzanne Summers thinks the Me Too movement is having a damaging effect on the simple act of flirting. Summers says she doesn't want to seem insensitive, but says there was a certain charm to having a glass of wine and then waking up under Bill Cosby.
Oh, wow.
That's your Hollywood Trash.
All right. We'll see if we can get an answer to the question, what type of mooning should be acceptable and allowed? 215-263-WMMR is the number. I'm going to go to Ross. Hey, Ross, good morning.
Oh, my balls.
Well done.
Not bad. All right, what type of mooning should be acceptable and allowed, sir?
Is it Nazi?
Nazi yes! mooning.
You're correct.
Hang on there, Ross. I'll set you up. I got a pair of tickets to see Hasan Minhaj at the Miriam Theater Sunday, September 23rd, 10 p.m. The 7 p.m. show is sold out, and you can get tickets for the 10 p.m. show at Ticketmaster.com. Ready for music news. Here we go.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! What the f*** is that? All right, music news this morning brought to you by Monster Mania. And Monster Mania Con 40 is coming today through the 19th. And you can see Justin Long, Freddie himself, Robert Englund, Carl Weathers. We had Paulie Shore here this morning. He said he's going to be there as well. And more tickets are available at the door. And you can go to monstermania.net for more information. We had a lengthy discussion earlier this morning between 6:30, and we went till about, I don't know, 10 minutes after 6. We spent a good half hour or more talking about the passing of the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. And we'll definitely talk about some more. She had passed away yesterday morning. She was at home. She was on hospice care, obviously, because she had been sick, pancreatic cancer.
I'm so glad she was able to be surrounded by family and friends. And, you know, and she apparently when she talked at some point to Stevie Wonder just a day or two ago, she was fairly lucid. So,
no kidding.
Yeah.
She went at 9:50 a.m. at her home in Detroit. And, yes, family and friends were surrounding her. Aretha Franklin remains the most charted female on the Billboard magazine list with a whopping 73 charting records.
It's crazy.
In 1987, she became the first female artist to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. To date, she has sold 75 million records globally, making her one of the best-selling singers in history. She won 18 Grammy Awards, earned Grammy Lifetime Achievement and Grammy Living Legend Awards. In 1994, she received the Kennedy Center Honor. And in 2005, she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and that is the nation's highest civilian honor. And obviously, over the next few days, weeks, and months, there will be tributes and there will be retrospectives. I recommend that you watch one if you haven't had a chance to delve into that yet, because she was an amazing woman, an incredible natural talent.
And there's always a spike in sales. I'm sure she'll be, you know, the top spot on iTunes and the other streaming services.
By the way, she was also very successful with music and films. Her version of Respect debuted in the Billboard Top 40 on May 6, 1967. It hit number one on June 3rd and then head down the spot for 2 weeks. And apart from being a radio staple for nearly 50 years, the song was featured in movies like Platoon, Forrest Gump, Mystic Pizza, even Back to School. Comedies used it, as well as being used prominently in Candace Bergen's hit TV show Murphy Brown, as well as Natural Woman. That one was used in there, too. She had so many wonderful highlights through her career, one of them being singing My Country, Tis of Thee at the first inauguration of President Barack Obama in 2009. But one of her most unforgettable performances came during the 1998 Grammy Awards. We spoke about it earlier this morning. She stepped in at the last moment to perform Puccini's classic Turandot aria Nessun Dora instead of the ailing Luciano Pavarotti. They called her in about 2 hours before the performance and said, "Can you do this?
It's incredible.
A classical piece." And she blew people away. So that's how great she was. Of course, she nailed it. She was equally adept at less highbrow appearances, thoroughly stealing scenes from John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd in 1980's The Blues Brothers movie with one of her signature hits, Thanks. So she had a wonderful career. All of her compatriots and fellow musicians have reached out on social media to pay tribute, and they will continue to do that. Everyone from Paul McCartney and Brian Wilson and Elton John and Diana Ross and Mariah Carey and Patti LaBelle, John Legend, Willie Nelson, Tony Bennett, Clive Davis, Axl Rose, people you wouldn't expect.
Do you know who we haven't heard from?
Yeah.
David Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff hasn't said anything yet.
That's I think that says a lot.
I think it does.
F you, Mr. Hasselhoff.
So the Queen of Soul, dead at the age of 76, but we will always have the music. I do have a couple of other things to pass along in music news. Disturbed has unveiled that its seventh studio album, titled Evolution, will arrive on October 19th. The band has also shared the official music video for Are You Ready? The first single from the LP. The quartet said in a statement, "It is with tremendous pride, joy, and anticipation that we look forward to sharing the next chapter in the creative life of Disturbed with the world." The band added, "This record is truly unique and very special to us, and we can only hope that upon listening to it, that the world will feel the same." The record showcases the most adventurous and electric combination of musical styles and moods that we've ever attempted in our careers, and each song truly has its own identity, feel, and power. So we shall see. Hailstorm front person Lizzie Hale called for improved awareness around mental health issues following the death on Tuesday of Jill Janis, who is the lead singer of a California heavy metal act called Huntress. Janis, who was 43 years old, took her own life outside of Portland, Oregon, after struggling with mental illness her whole life.
Huntress?
Huntress,
that sounds familiar for some reason.
Hale wrote on Instagram, "Jill was very open about her struggles with mental health and addiction. Now more than ever, spanning across every age group, the suicide rate is extremely high, and I'd like to take a moment to state again how important it is to talk about mental health and remind all of you out there that are battling demons that you are not alone."
I wasn't familiar with this band either, Steve, and but somebody was texting in, a listener was texting in there earlier this morning and asked if we had mentioned this and brought it up, and so I went back and forth with this person a little bit and said that they were able to meet Jill and the other members of the band not that long ago. They could not have been nicer people and had a really positive impact on their life.
Hale also warned that people must be careful with prescription medications and concluded to Jill, "My sister of Scream, I hope wherever you have found the peace that you couldn't hear." Slash revealed in a new interview with Variety that he recently rediscovered a never-before-heard collaboration between himself and late Linkin Park singer Chester Bennington, speaking of people that have taken their own lives. The track was intended for Slash's first solo album, although he ended up recording it with late Motorhead frontman Lemmy Kilmister on vocals. Slash recalled, "When I was doing my first solo record, I worked with a lot of different people, some of whom, for whatever reason, didn't end up on the record. One was with Chester, who did a song, and Linkin Park at the time didn't allow it to happen, so I did it with Lemmy. The guy who engineered my demo sent it to me, and I sent it to Chester's family." The guitarist added that the song, called Captain Alibi, could be released at some point, saying his family has got to say that it would be... and that it's okay, and it would be totally up to them.
I kind of like to hear that.
He said it was really good. He was awesome. It would be fine with me if they wanted to release it. Musically, it's basically the same as the Lemmy song, but the lyrics are really poignant. Slash will release his fourth solo album and third with his band, The Conspirators, titled The Living Dream, on September 21st. And one more quick story. A band that we've had here in our studio on a couple of occasions, Sick Puppies.
Sick.
Their former
ladies and gentlemen, Sick Puppies.
Their former
try my microphone every time I do that.
Their former singer and guitarist Shim Moore,
sick.
Will release. Will release his first solo album called Shim on September 14th.
Shim's soul sound
on September 14th.
Sick from Sick Puppies. Sonic Youth, everybody.
More
Stone Temple Pilots, Sonic Youth, Shim, Sick Puppies.
More said about the LP, "I set out to make the best music of my career, which I've done."
It's like going to a Gallagher show. Everyone in the front row has to wear slickers.
He said, "For better or worse, I put everything that I had to give into this album, and for the first time in my life, it doesn't matter what the outcome is, because I couldn't have bled any more than I did on this music."
I don't know why that band just tore up. So, you know, we enjoyed them.
They were nice. He was a fun guy. I enjoyed interviewing him, and they had a good sound, a good singer. Moore added, "The theme of this album is..."
Is he here?
Yeah, he's
here.
Right behind you, Steve.
Oh, Cowper?
We're doing our tribute to Cowper.
Oh, the theme of this album... I thought you were talking about Shim Moore.
I'm like, oh my God.
What are the chances?
Oh my God.
Moore
apparently
added,
he's on the Fanatic.
Moore added, "The theme of this album is about someone digging themselves out of a hole. It's the whole journey of doing the work to create the life you want despite the obstacles." The debut single from Shim, called Hallelujah, is... Journey is working its way up the charts at rock radio. Sick Puppies parted way with more in October 2014 after 17 years and four studio albums. And there you go. That's what I got for you in music news this morning. Let me see. What do we need to do? Can I give something away?
Yeah, do you want to do the,
What?
Let's hang on to these and let's do some brewskis.
Brewskis? Did you just say the word brewskis?
Is that not allowed? Sorry.
No, that's all. It's okay. It's just an old term. Brewskis, man.
What'd you call them? Beezers?
Bezos. Yeah. All right. I need the official information. Is it up here?
It is.
Okay. I will give away a case of Yard's Refreshing Summer Seasonal Pink, which is brewed with cherries and raspberries. And I'll take caller number 22, and you have to be at least 21 to win, 215-263-WMMR. Now available with a portion of all sales benefiting the Tayana Foundation, dedicated to improving the lives of breast cancer patients. Huh. And you can pick up Pink today at Catelli Duo in Voorhees. So call right now, 215-263-WMMR. We'll be back in just a moment. Get ready to get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR.
Online, on demand, and on the air.
Including our digital HD signal. The best sounding MMR there is. WMMR HD and HD2. The MM Archives channel.
Reaching the end of our workday, maybe the very beginning of yours, or maybe the end of yours too. Maybe you're an overnight worker. But nonetheless, we have the weekend upon us. Weather-wise, yeah, we might get an afternoon shower today, later on, around 6, 7 o'clock, something, depending on where you live. And then they're calling for afternoon thunderstorms tomorrow. It's going to be warm today, 91 tomorrow, 85 tomorrow. 91 today, 85 tomorrow.
And Sunday's even cooler, right?
Yeah, 77, but they're calling for thunderstorms. So
enough of this crap.
Exactly.
I'm becoming Swamp Thing.
Yeah, and do you know what else is happening? And this is me being your standard homeowner, but weeds are growing like freaking crazy, man. Terrible. If you try to keep your yard in shape or your landscaping, because of all this water, they are out of control.
Yeah, but the flowers look great.
They do.
You're right.
Yeah.
But I weeded and feeded my lawn, and it's like I've only fed the weeds.
Yeah. They're going crazy right now. It's because of all the moisture we're getting. So
I know we've been talking about bugs a lot lately, but I have those house caterpillars lately that are like the giant. They look like my friend says they look like crawling eyebrows.
They're super fast, right?
They're super fast,
and they're disgusting.
And so I was reading up about them last night. They are incredibly disgusting, and they thrive in moisture in environments. Yeah. So, and we were talking about it earlier in the week, but we had some of the flooding in the basement.
Is that what you're seeing? Oh, so you're getting them. They're moving. Yeah. They're moving up.
But the cool thing, Steve, is that apparently they like the bedroom. So that's fun to wake up to and see that on the ceiling.
I am not aware of what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, like the pincher thing.
He said it. No. Oh, what he said is exactly right. They look like moving eyebrows.
Yeah. Oh.
And they move fast.
They're very fast.
I hope to God you never have to encounter these things. Like if stink bugs are easy but slightly annoying. These things are annoying, creepy, and I never want to see them again. And they're all over. That's it. That's my nightmare.
I don't know what they are either.
It looks like, again, like that's the best way to describe it. Less fuzzy than a caterpillar, more like hair.
Yeah.
Really?
Steve? Yeah.
Pull up a picture.
And then when you kill them, Steve, what I learned is that sometimes
they explode.
No, the legs all fall off.
Really?
So you're left with this body of a bug. That's just it's hideous. It's
a legless
just hideous.
Bug.
Yeah.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
As foretold in the Bible.
I want to see that. House caterpillar?
Yeah, I think that's what they're called. Yeah, these bastards.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah.
I know what I didn't know that was considered a caterpillar.
Oh.
Yes.
I hate those things.
Aren't they hard? And they're fast.
Horrifying.
Yeah, they are fast.
They're horrifying.
Legs! Look at my legs!
They're the Rambo of the insect world.
Wow. Okay. I had no idea those were...
Can't get my legs! I've got 100.
After they were in, I didn't know they were in the caterpillar family. Well, that sucks.
Coming back from the basement, spitting on me, calling me baby killer.
Okay. Thank you. You kidding me?
Legs, please.
Oh, no. In that voice. Legs.
I've got 100 legs.
All right.
There's a picture of Matt Rovine up on the screen.
Okay.
His eyebrows.
Yeah.
That's why. former sales sales associate.
He's got house caterpillars on his eyes.
Matt Cowper with his eyebrows.
Got house caterpillar eyes.
I miss making fun of Matt Cowper's
eyes. I know.
Matt Rovine.
Matt Rovine's eyes. I'm sorry. We make fun of Matt Cowper's speech. But listen, if you work at 6ABC, make fun of Matt Rovine's eyebrows because he works over there now. Let me thank our guest. Pauly Shore was here.
Yes.
Pauly is at Punchline Philly tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. Tickets at punchlinephilly.com. Thank you to Josh Blue.
Yeah.
Josh Blue is at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. And you can get those tickets at heliumcomedy.com. And we had Indy 500 winner Will Power, who is here today. Pocono Race Series is this weekend, and he's won the last 2 years. He's looking to win again, so we'll see if he does a three-peat. And thank you to Godshall's Turkey Bacon for feeding everybody. You can go to godshalls.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Brent Porch is here.
Good morning. Happy Friday, everybody.
How are you, man?
I've been better, but, you know, rocking and rolling.
You were almost the late Brent Porch yesterday.
But Chuck's in the room. My devotion, right? I came in bleeding and everything, and I still came in for my shift.
Explain what happened.
Brent had an injury.
Yeah, I don't know if I was sleepwalking or what. I was going to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and I made the wrong turn upstairs out of my bedroom, and I ended up taking a nosedive down the steps.
Like you took a full step, not realizing that you were now going to go down.
Right, I skipped about six of the 13, 14 steps that I ended up falling down, and I hit a picture that was hanging on the wall, knocked that off the wall. You saw where it hit the other wall because there's black spots, but a piece of it broke off, and I got like a slice in the side of my neck.
On your throat.
Like right where the artery is. Yeah. I mean, I could have easily broke my neck, you know, depending on how I landed. Wow. But I got right back up, and I went to the bathroom and I went to bed. I guess I was still, like, in that kind of sleep stage.
And you woke up in a bed full of blood, right?
Yeah, all around my neck.
Must have had
my
period.
But the funny part about it is I was talking to my neighbor who lives two doors down from me. And around that time the other night, he's like, I heard something. I heard a loud bang. And again, this is two doors down.
Wow.
And he said he flew out of bed. He thought somebody was breaking into his house. And he, like, grabbed his gun and everything. And I was like, there's no way that that was me that you heard falling.
I don't know, man. I felt, you know, I sprained my wrist falling down the stairs a couple of weeks back. And it shook the house. I mean, you know, when a big guy goes falling down the stairs, it rattles the house. So. Yeah. Oh, it may have well could have been.
I landed just right. I mean, if this is all I have, that's fine. I got some rug burns and stuff like that. But again, it could have been a lot worse.
Wow.
Yeah. So
well, you're a trooper for coming in, man.
It's the rock.
It's the rock. It's the
power of rock.
You can't stop it.
Sick.
All right. Well, we got
rock is sick.
We got a prize to give away for Word of the Week. You ready?
Yep.
All right.
Here. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
By the letter O as in O, baby. It's Friday.
All right. And we'll take caller number six at 215-263-WMMR, and we will give you the prize if you happen to know what the Word of the Week is. Nick, a bunch of people are texting in saying that those things are called house centipedes.
Yeah.
But you looked up house caterpillar, and that picture came up.
I guess I've heard both. I've heard people call them thousand-leggers. I don't know what the technical or scientific name is, but no matter what, I hate them.
Yeah, I don't like those either. Okay. So you got one more day filling in for Pierre.
I do, yes.
What's coming up?
Workforce blocks today. Judas Priest. I think Sarah's actually talking to Rob Halford right now in the other studio.
Oh, Sarah's she's doing? With
him. Yeah.
Very nice.
Collective Soul. They have a show in town this weekend, so we'll do something from them. And our next year that we're celebrating this weekend, the year MMR turned 11, so 1979. Got a big block of tunes coming up for that as well.
Excellent, man. It's going to be a good time today with Brent. Let's see. Waiting on getting our caller on the line. Is there anything else I need to mention? You know what? I'll hit this one more time because it's coming up on Monday. It's called Dining Out for the Dogs. Dining Out for Dogs. Not only the Preston and Steve Show, but a lot of members of the of our sister stations are going to be at the separate White Dog Cafes for Dining Out for Dogs on Monday. And it starts at 5 p.m. You just go by, get a bite to eat, and proceeds are going to benefit Alpha Bravo Canine. So some of the money that you spend is going to go to them, and they provide trained service dogs to U.S. military veterans suffering from PTSD and other things. And you can help us out. It's simple to do, and we'll be there.
Yes.
We'll say hello.
Not only will we be there, Preston, as you said before, our brothers and sisters from our sister stations, but they'll also be puppies for the kissing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So make sure you get the details. Click events at WMMR.com and you will get it. Let's go to the phone, see if we can get a winner. I have Brian on the line. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing? You guys rock.
Thank you, Brian. And you will, too, if you know the word of the week. What is it?
It's Mondo.
Great day in the morning. Mondo. You have Mondo Falls in your backyard.
Mondo Falls is the name of our pseudo resort. At my hat, it's what we call our backyard, Mondo Falls. Brian, hang on. We are going to give you a pair of front row tickets and free parking to see Sebastian Maniscalco Thursday, September 13th. At the Wells Fargo Center, this is the second leg of his record-breaking international Stay Hungry tour, named after his new national best-selling book. Tickets are on sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. We'll take a moment to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show this morning has been brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel your summer with iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. And also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer, and French Creek Outfitters, with everything you need for the great outdoors, FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. Why take a chance with anybody else? Next week on the program, on various days, we have various comedians joining us. Our good friend Bert Kreischer will be joining us. He's got a Netflix special coming up, from what I
understand. The one he taped at the, was it the Troc?
At the Troc. He did a couple of shows there, yeah.
And they actually built an elevated stage and everything. Yeah. It was very cool.
We'll also have comedian Dan Soder.
He's great.
In our studio. And another great one, Ian Bagg will be in our studio. So, yeah,
it's a stellar week.
A damn good time next week. Hopefully you will join us. That is it. We are done. Rage on, and have yourself a great weekend, gang. We'll see you Monday. All right. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Listen, kids, when you're ordering a drink in a restaurant, could you just say, may I please have, or I would like, instead of I'll do a vodka and cranberry, or I'll do a gin and tonic? What exactly are you going to do with it? It makes you sound like a complete moron.
Next message.
It is my last day at a job working at the bottom of the totem pole, and I get to start in a few weeks a career I've been trying to get into for the past 9 years. Let's go, Mother Bitches!
Next message.
Do not say TGIF to a service industry employee.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.